Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. So today, a couple things to talk about. I don't really have a whole lot prepared, except I really do want to talk about vaccines and how basically all of these lies that have been sold to so many people for so long are, you know, and most of us saw through this. We were able to see through this fairly early on, and we, you know, tried to warn our friends and family about the risks of the vaccine, of the COVID vaccine in particular. And but a lot of people weren't. And now all of this stuff is coming out. Vaccines, you know, the big lie, right, is that vaccines, if you get a COVID vaccine, it stops transmission. And you know, it's coming out in big ways now that was not only false, but it was never tested that way. So, but with that, Elizabeth is with us. Let's bring her in. Hello.
Well, hello.
How are you?
How are you, my darling? Oh, my God.
Not bad.
That was not an accident, was it? Good. I just made it home, and I'm unloading my care package. It's all over the counter now for my sister.
Your care package? What kind of care package?
Something. Oh, no.
Oh,
my,
yeah, nice.
My sister, she loves to give me, you know, extra things. She gets, you know, like a crate, a whole skid of toilet paper, so she'll give me a bunch. And I'm like, oh, thank
oh,
you.
That's nice.
Complete with a box of wine from Costco. It is nice. But I
my grandma used to drink so many of those box wines from Costco.
Yeah, I don't shop. I am the local little Mexican stores that nobody knows about. I had a ground beef for $1.98 on sale last week, and it was really good.
Ooh. Nice.
So this is what's going to save us through the apocalypse, is shop local family place.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, and we saw, speaking of seeing this coming, I kind of saw this inflation thing coming. I actually thought it was going to be more of a food shortage than anything. Gosh, probably about 6 months ago, we just started stocking up our freezer. And so we've kind of been living off of that. So tonight we're doing a roast chicken, you know, that I just grabbed out of the freezer earlier in the week. And then we just stock up on things when they actually do go on sale. So there was a while there that we couldn't find boneless, skinless chicken breasts. And I'm being a little over dramatic, but the store that I usually go to. What's that?
First world problems, honey. I'll get the chicken legs that are on sale, boneless, skinless chicken breast. I stay away from that. I'm like, that's too food. But I know.
Oh, really?
So
yeah.
Funny.
Well, you know what? It's like, but yeah. Okay. So at Grocery Outlet, it's still like $2.19 a pound, but which is a great price for me for boneless, skinless chicken breast. But they just didn't have them for a while. They just didn't, like, you had to be there first thing in the morning, which is a little scary.
And do you know why they do that though? I'm about to call out my dairy that I'm springing a little more money for, but it's supporting a local dairy that's been here forever, a couple hundred years in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And they are playing the government's, what do I want to call it? It's the bait and switch. We have a make-believe lack of surplus. What's the word I'm looking for?
False scarcity.
We don't have half and half. Really, because you're a dairy, and I'm getting a half a gallon of really good milk from your dairy, why don't you have half and half ever? It's because they're being paid to perpetuate this food scarcity crisis. They did it with the avocados, and then they do it with the coffee, and then they pulled off the coffee, and then it's the half and half, and then it's the eggs. And it's always to give you that the environment's of, we're not doing well. You have the fear, because everything could be taken away at any moment, when they're actually paying these places to play that game.
And yeah, yeah.
I know when I ask them, they'll say, oh, how'd you know about that? Because I know. Because it just doesn't make sense that there would be a shortage of half and half when you've got a cow and you've got butter and you're making ice cream and you're making milk. What's wrong with the cream? Hmm? But I think the government, because we're really not. I mean, the hell did I pass? I passed something, and I'm just like, I had to laugh because I just drove like an hour from the heights of, you know, yuppiedom to the quagmire of my little armpit city, which is, it's one of those, sanctuary city. You know, you can just tell, it's like, it's from night and day, boom, boom, boom. But we have so much. Nobody's poor here. We're just out of shape because of where we eat and what the clothes, where we go to. And I'm like, but we have too much. We're not in any kind of a scarcity crisis right now where they want us to be. It's there. Not when you've got it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and you could get, what you can't get at your grocery, you could like get online delivered to you. So where's the disconnect there, you know? You can get anything off of Amazon. So we don't have it isn't like World War II where we have to ration because we don't have enough rubber to make tires for the tanks or whatever the hell that mindset was. And that's kind of what they're trying to do with us here. I don't know. But back to your chicken breast, babe, that was like the beginning of yuppie dump. Oprah Winfrey leading the country with her new guru way of living, and everybody had to have skinless, breastless chicken breasts in every meal they made. And I'm like, no, I like the legs.
It's just easier for me to cook. And it's funny, though, because we definitely do, like we buy wings and things like that for the dog, right? Isn't that funny? Is that we don't feed her kibble. She eats better than we do. She eats salmon almost every day. And she gets actually the raw wings. I mean, because they have to have, you know, a certain amount of calcium and gnashing. They have to be able to gnash on bone. So we give her raw chicken wings.
I was too afraid to ever do that. I grew up with the don't give your dog chicken bones mantra because it'll kill
them.
Only
if they're cooked. You can't give it to them if they're cooked.
So I don't.
It has to be raw.
I still don't trust it. Got to be the big bones. Even though, you know, they can break their bones. They can break their teeth off of those nice big bones too. And then it's like, you know what? Let them go hunt what they want and let them proceed at their own way.
Well, that's kind of the point. It's like, I was also under the myth that we can't feed dogs raw chicken bones or, you know, any kind of chicken bone because it'll splinter.
Mm-hmm.
And it is true that when they're cooked, they are weaker and they can splinter. But, you know, then I got to thinking, it's like, well, what did dogs eat in the wild? Did they not eat chicken bones? Of course they ate chicken bones. I mean, they eat chicken eggs, they eat chicken bones, they eat, you know, they don't cook them. They just eat them, you know.
People will unapologetically
steal eggs out of the chicken coop, you know. Like, that's raw.
I think if they had their preference, they pull the meat off the bones is what, you know, if you watch the animals that do eat an animal that they've killed. I don't think the bones are really part of their meal. It's more like a snack.
It is, actually. It very much is. When you get down and when you like actually get down to the research of it, it's not only, it's necessary. Like dogs are supposed to live a whole lot longer than they do, but they definitely eat bones. I posted a picture the other day of her eating a rabbit's foot, you know,
I saw that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they will. My dog, he would. I watched my old dog actually kill a muskrat. I'm thinking it was a muskrat. In the creek. It was huge. This huge rat, and it was in the creek. And I'm thinking, well, that's got to be what they call muskrats. And he just like disemboweled it and shook it to death. And I'm like, you go, Marco Polo. I was very, very proud of him because I thought it was going to be another vet bill for me because he had gotten into a fight with a beaver not that long ago and it was 8 stitches.
Oh, geez.
But I'm watching this.
Those are nasty. Those beavers can. I always thought, like, they're like cartoony, right? And that you could go up and pet them. But no,
no.
They're like, get
no,
away
they're
from
wild animals and territorial, and they got the big teeth and
mm-hmm.
yeah. So, but you know, it is like the wild kingdom when you get a dog out in the woods, in the river, and that's what they do. And it was like, wow, look at you go. And of course, don't let me think. He used to love to drag dead things to the car. Usually it would be a dead fish. And I don't think he even thought about bringing that thing up. I know, but you know, I Mama only wants the dirty, yucky dog in the car.
So
I know.
Mean.
I know.
Oh, speaking of Mom, Mom is with us.
Is
I'm going to bring her in.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's here.
Awesome.
Hello.
Good afternoon. How is everybody doing? I was enjoying the conversation about the doggies.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes.
I almost called to say, hey, I'm sick. I can't do the show because I got this election sinus flu thing that's going around in Chicago. But the more I think, seriously, they've been spraying the skies like you wouldn't believe. And blatantly, to where all of my friends are sending me pictures. They're like, look at this. I go, yeah, they're mocking us. I saw one in Northbrook that almost looked like a pentagram with the lines. You know, they're just like, fuck you.
Oh, Lord.
Here's your sleepy dust and whatnot. But it's a definite yucky sinus cold. But being out in the sun really helped me. I just got home from carving pumpkins with the kids. So I felt better. But
how fun.
I almost bowed out. I'm like, I don't feel good. But I thought, I'll suck it up. Suck it up and hang out and talk with everybody.
Y'all know if you were going to have a discussion about the vaccines, this very first part, and, you know, what happened this week, because I have something that, not necessarily going to preface it, but it's do you guys remember Archbishop Vigano was one of the, he's an archbishop, and he was one of the ones that was, you know, going after the Catholic Church for pushing these vaccines. He wrote another letter to the Pope, and I wanted to read the letter to you guys because it's...
Well, please do, yeah. It needs
yeah,
to be.
So,
you know,
yeah.
Would you
like to start?
My niece's little neighbor, they play the little girl's soccer team. They had a little girl that got a concussion today at practice. She just fell over and got a concussion, and that just broke my heart. I know that the vast majority of those kids are vaccinated. My sister chose not to, thank God. But I was like, oh, my God. This is like a little 8-year-old just falls over and has a concussion for no apparent reason.
That's
and I'm like, yeah.
You know, Danielle's posting every day with young people dying just for
mm-hmm.
what appears to be no reason. So we know it's dangerous, and they just recently, so Danielle's going to probably talk about this, but this week they said that they were going to allow schools to mandate or add it to the list of vaccines, the COVID vaccine, add it to the list of vaccines that are required for kids to go
mm-hmm.
to school. And, of course, I'm frantic because I don't want my grandchildren to have it. Of course, and Danielle's never going to let that happen. But think about the parents across the United States that are having to make this decision with the information that we know now about the dangers of this vaccine.
I'm trying to get to the damn door to cut these guys off. Wyoming, they voted not to do any of this.
Yes, there's a list of states that have already come out that.
The people that have the power to do this, I don't think it's the school districts per se. Do you? Do you know
it's the governors.
District?
It's the governors and their health department, their public health bureaucrats that will make these decisions. But yes. There's a list of states that have already come out and said that they will not require the children to get it. So, I mean, California definitely is going to. I'm sure Illinois will too, Elizabeth.
Yeah, they already tried.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So I want to check it out.
He's getting turned upon. His Senate just turned on him in the style of Julius Caesar. It's too brute.
Good.
Boom. They all came and said, you know what? We're suing him. He doesn't have the right to have this executive order. There is no emergency. It was a bipartisan committee. I'm like, oh, my God. The tides are turning in Illinois. So I had to just throw that out.
It's about time. Yeah.
It is.
So let me go ahead and read this letter, unless, Danielle, you want to talk a little bit about what happened this week before I read it.
Well, I kind of did at the beginning, but go ahead, and then I have two videos to play today. I guess I'll start with the vaccine schedule one. So, but go ahead and read the letter, and then we'll get into a video about it or an audio about it.
Okay. So this is a letter from Archbishop Vigano, and he wrote this to a cardinal in. And also to the Pope. And so it's about the vaccines. It was written on October 18th. So if you remember, Lily last week mentioned Archbishop Vigano, and she said we hadn't heard from him for a while. Well, right after that, he put another letter out, and it says, Your Eminence. Last year, on October 23rd, 2021, I wrote a letter to the President of the United States Bishops Conference, which I also sent to you, in which I expressed, as I have already done publicly, my very strong reservations on various extremely controversial aspects regarding the moral legitimacy of the use of experimental gene serums produced using mRNA technology. In that letter, which was written with the help of eminent scientists and virologists, I highlighted the need to update the note on the morality of using some COVID-19 vaccines due to the scientific evidence that has emerged even then and moreover has been declared by the pharmaceutical manufacturers themselves. Permit your eminence, to renew my appeal in the light of recent declarations made by Pfizer to the European Parliament and the publication of official data by the World Health Agencies. First of all, I remind you that the document from the Dicastery over which you preside was promulgated on December 21st, 2020 in the absence of complete data about the nature of the gene serum and its components, and also without any results from the efficacy and safety trials. The subject of note was limited to the moral aspects of the use of vaccines against COVID-19 that have been developed from cell lines derived from tissues obtained from two fetuses that were not spontaneously aborted. The congregation further reiterated, we do not intend to judge the safety and efficacy of those vaccines, although ethically relevant and necessary, as this evaluation is the responsibility of biomedical researchers and drug agencies. So at the time that he wrote that initial letter, it was because of where those vaccines came from. It was also the premise for millions of people to ask for a religious exemption, mine included, that those original vaccines and where they came from were the original cell lines were from aborted fetuses. since then, he goes on to say, the safety and efficacy of the individual vaccines should have been established after a period of experimentation, which normally takes several years. But in this case, the health authorities have decided to carry out the experimentation on the entire population, departing from the normal practice of the scientific community. And this is important when we go to argue, fight back. Danielle and I were talking earlier that we were able to stop mandates, even here in California where everybody's freaking cuckoo, and we should again. But one of the ways we can stop them is to say that they experimented on humans. Right? They did human trials on like the entire population. And come to find out, it's emerging that people, in fact, in Vigano, that people who have been subjected to inoculation with experimental serum not only have never been protected from contagion by the virus, nor from grave forms of illness, that have actually been made more vulnerable to COVID-19 and its variants due to the irreversible compromising of their immune system caused by mRNA technology. The data also highlight serious short and long-term effects such as sterility, the inducement of miscarriages in pregnant women, the transmission of the virus to children through breastfeeding, the development of serious heart conditions, including myocarditis and pericarditis, the return of, this one's tough, cancerous tumors that have previously been cured, and a whole series of other debilitating diseases. The many cases of sudden deaths, which until recently were stubbornly considered as having no relation to inoculation with the serum, are revealing the consequences of repeated doses, even in people who are young and healthy and physically fit. Members of the military who are rigorously controlled by health personnel for safety reasons are showing the same incidence of adverse effects after receiving the serum. Additionally, they're showing forms of acquired immunodeficiency in those who receive it. Worldwide, the number of deaths and grave pathologies following vaccination is increasing exponentially. These vaccines have caused more deaths than any other vaccines combined in the last 30 years. And not only this, in many nations, the number of those who have died after vaccination is significantly higher than the number of those who've died from COVID. So I'm not going to read the entire letter, but he's bringing the receipts. He goes on
That's
to
awesome.
Say the vaccines, yes, vaccines against COVID-19 have been presented as the only possible alternative to a deadly disease. This was false from the very beginning, and with the perspective of 2 years, it has also been confirmed as false. There were and are alternative treatments, but they have been methodically boycotted by the pharmaceutical companies because they are inexpensive and not profitable for them. So he goes on to talk about censorship of these other alternative medicines. He's asking at the end of the letter. He said, I further believe, most reverend eminence, that the time has come for the Holy See to definitely distance himself from these private entities and multinational corporations, which I found fascinating. He's intimating here is that the hierarchy of the Catholic Church is working with these pharmaceutical companies, and which is really scary.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Where does he close? Yes. He said, there it is. He said, his last paragraph is freaking fire. The Catholic hierarchy has experienced a decline in recent years that is directly proportional to the support it has given to the globalist ideology. Its commitment to support the vaccine campaign is not an isolated case, judging by the participation of the Holy See in climate initiatives, which are also based on false assumptions that have nothing scientific about them, and transhumanistic endeavors. But this is not the purpose for which our Lord placed the church on earth. She must first and foremost proclaim the truth, keeping herself far away from dangerous involvements with the powerful of the earth, and even more so with those among them who are notoriously hostile to the teachings of Christ and the Catholic morality. If the hierarchy does not shake itself away from these obsequious enslavement, from this obsequious enslavement, if it does not rediscover the courage and dignity to stand up against the mentality of the world, it will be overwhelmed and will fall victim to its own inability to be a stumbling block and a sign of contradiction. Assert your eminence that you will want to consider the particular gravity of these themes, as well as the urgency of enlightened intervention that is faithful to the teaching of the gospel and the Salus Animarium, which is and remains the supreme elect of the church. So he's calling them out for getting in bed with these ideologies that are antithetical to the church, and the main one being taking something that changes your DNA, which is God breathed. So anyway, I wanted to start there. with, you know, my thoughts and feelings about these vaccines. You know, they haven't changed. As a matter of fact, they've gotten more fiery as I go on. And there's been lots of posts here recently about people saying, those of you that stood up and said, no, I'm not taking this vaccine, you can't make me take this vaccine, are going to be proven right. And you know, it's sad that, you know, that however many millions of people will have to die after having taken this vaccine and or have life-threatening, debilitating illnesses as a result of taking these vaccines. It's horrific to me.
I'm glad you got that out of the way before the good news report.
I'm glad I did too. It's scary, but here's the thing, because I always go back to Aiden and Ava. Now, I know, Danielle, that you are not going to subject my grandchildren to these shots, but I still think about all the grandmas in the world that are going to have to be, you know, that are going to be fighting against these decisions that their children are getting ready to make for their grandchildren. And it's sad and it's scary. So thank you for keeping my grandchildren safe, Danielle, Teresa, but I'm praying for all the other grandparents that are worried about their grandchildren.
Isn't it funny? Because just today I was thinking to myself that, you know, my children are safe, but what happens when they have children? You know, these laws are only going to get more enforced and more strict, and the, you know, the vaccine schedule is only going to get that much more expanded when they have children. So, you know, that,
well,
So there's
lawsuits. The monster is under the bed. He's about to come out. They threw another blanket on him. He's under the rug. They can't hide this very much longer. The amount of deaths and injuries. They talk about the hospitals. Oh, the hospitals are overwhelmed. Just wait till how many little girls are going to fall over in a little bit of exertion and have a concussion. And we've had eight young high school boys drop dead in like precarious choir practice and different things this last week. People are starting to drop dead that shouldn't be. Even people who are like, you know, they never contradict the official narrative of anything. They follow the authority. They're like, oh, yeah, right, because it's perfectly normal to have a heart attack when you're a young child. They're waking up.
It's animal.
There's a lawsuit.
Not normal.
That's going towards the Supreme Court. You know, they're trying to demonize anybody that speaks up as to, you know, the emperor has no clothes. And then they silenced them from everywhere, but they went to court, and these lawsuits are going up to the Supreme Court, and almost every single one has won. I mean, we will not go back to the masks because we won in court. They can't change that. So he reissued his EO.
Hey guys, we have a caller with a that wants to be a part of the show. I'm sorry to interrupt, but
let him
you guys okay with me bringing the caller in?
Absolutely. Welcome aboard.
Hi, who's this?
Hello. Hi, my name is John. I'm from New York. I just wanted to add into this whole COVID vaccine thing. It's been almost 3 years now, and everyone that I know has gotten COVID. That's just the bottom line. But out of everyone that I know that has gotten COVID, none of them has died. But it's really odd because those of my friends who had gotten the vaccine shots, I want to say at least half of them, 50% of them have gotten complications. There's one friend in particular, he's in his 40s, probably 45 or something. So he's kind of healthy, youngish, and he has gotten Bell's palsy. That's the disease where your eye drops and does things. I've never heard of this until recently. It seems like more and more people are getting that now. And I think there's a link with that and the vaccine. According to the doctors when he talked to the doctor, the doctor said, it's a normal thing. People have always gotten it, but I've never heard of it until this whole COVID vaccine thing. And all the other friends and all my other friends that have gotten the vaccine that had problems in the past, like diabetes, which is a bad thing, but it wasn't as bad as what happened after they got the vaccine. They're going in and out of the hospital at least once a month because of respiratory issues, dizziness, all kinds of problems. So there is something wrong with this vaccine. There is definitely. And the whole thing, like how I began with this conversation, is everyone I know has gotten COVID, which means in the past, if it wasn't COVID, it would have been the flu. This is just a regular flu. That's my opinion. Thank you for letting me on and say that.
Oh, don't go away.
Of course.
Don't go away. Thank you so much for having the courage to speak out the truth. And I am so sorry that you have lost so many people. That it's tragic. There was a time when they first started taking the vaccine by me, everybody was dying. Everybody had, there was more deaths in the family. And it wasn't, and I was kept thinking, oh my gosh, it's the person I work with. No, it was their husband, their spouse, their daughter, their in-law, their, it's so, and I'm like, there's an awful lot of people dying, ironically, right after the first shot. And I think people were in so much shock that they didn't like even dare to correlate the two together. But
yeah,
I think
exactly
what you put out is fantastic because, you know, you, New York, I think from everything that we saw on the news, and you know, the news is so, you know, truthful and observant, you guys had it the worst. And for you not to be shell-shocked in defending the tyranny that you've been under and to call it out, everyone needs to say, hey, there's something is wrong here. Can we talk about that for a while instead of everything else?
Yeah.
So I'd like
and
you
John,
to stay
John,
on.
Let me just say real quick before you go, I just wanted like just my own personal, and people say this is anecdotal, but you know, what are the things that you mentioned? You talked about people with diabetes having it worse and people getting Bell's palsy. My children's father got Bell's palsy just, you know, the first time in his life after his COVID shot, not directly after, but after. And his controlled diabetes came back, you know, tenfold. And he's you know, he was basically like cured, quote unquote, of diabetes many, many years ago. And then after the shot, now it's raging again. It's like, this is way too much of a coincidence for this to just be, you know, it's just bad luck that we know two people just on this phone call that have, you know, experienced these same symptoms. And so thank you so much for speaking up about this because, you know, the more people say this stuff, well, it's weird. My friend got a COVID shot and then, you know, had X, Y, and Z symptoms. You know, I think a lot of people would say, no, you guys are, you're jumping to conclusions. You're a conspiracy theorist. But you know, if enough of us come together and tell these stories, it's going to be too hard for them to hide this for much longer. So thank you so much for calling and telling your story.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Also, just to reiterate, I didn't know anybody that died. Just to say, I don't know anybody that died. Everyone I know has gotten COVID, but no one has died. It was only after the vaccine, like you said, there's coincidental things like Bell's palsy and diabetes coming back. And I'm starting to see more and more of that on the news and the research that I do. I'm starting to see more and more. Thank God I didn't take it. I mean, it just sounded political. The whole COVID thing sounds super political. And when the vaccine came out, it just doesn't sound right. But thank you for taking my call.
Of course. Of course, yeah. I hope you'll hang out a little bit longer and listen.
Oh, you're welcome.
What do they say? They say that what happens when you mix science with politics? What do you get? Politics.
You get politics. Yeah.
Yep.
To you guys' point, Moderna has very quietly admitted that it's mRNA COVID vaccine. Listen, Moderna admitted very quietly, according to Alex Berenson, that his mRNA COVID vaccine caused a case of type 1 diabetes in a one-year-old girl in its clinical trial.
Oh, God.
Oh, a baby. Okay,
yes,
so
that's
so I don't know. I have no idea what kind of a parent would have their child, their one-year-old child, do a COVID vaccine trial. But this little baby now has type 1 diabetes.
Well, there is a lot of them out there because they are the virtue signalers. They are the ones that have the we're all in this together in this house, love, science, blah, blah, blah. Proudly, a lot of these were physicians that had their children do this. And it's like, wow, look at what happened to your brain. Who stole your brain? I got a question for the caller, if he's still here. Or did he leave? Did we lose you?
Yeah, I think he's gone, but let me check.
Are you still there, honey?
No, he dropped. He's gone. I'm sorry.
I wanted to ask him about what his opinion of the whole thing, starting from start to finish, what his observations were with because I mean, remember it was the hospitals are overfilling, and then we had people coming to the hospitals, and the hospitals are empty. So what people were seeing, what was actually happening, he talked about were two different things. I'm just curious.
Yeah. But yeah, the nurses were coordinating TikTok videos. They were not busy.
Too dangerous for that at all. And Carla, that letter that the bishop, he was a bishop that wrote that letter?
Archbishop. Yeah, Archbishop Lugano, yes. Mm-hmm.
We have to pray. We have to pray for his safety because he's stepping over everybody else's bought and paid for toes.
So like Lily intimated last week, he's been kind of in hiding. They had to put him in hiding because there was threats on his life. But he hasn't stopped speaking out. So yes, we need to pray. Continue to pray for his safety for sure. Because
repeat his story. You know, it's gotten so horrible. This election cycle. I'm not watching the TV, and I popped it on today, and I thought, oh, I'm going to have to go. I want a salary, Danielle, if I have to listen to Donna Brazile for 20 minutes.
I think we all deserve a salary for listening to that woman.
The big lie is that she's still credible and should be on TV. She's unbelievable. But the YouTubes that I watch, it pops in with ads, and they're the most venomous ads. It's almost like, we need to kill babies, vote. And I was like, holy shit. I mean, that's the main crux is abortion and your right
to continue
to abort your babies.
That is
it's horrible. And so I cannot even imagine a man of God who speaks out against the abortions, his life is threatened because they are just like, they're acting like a bunch of wild jackals, to quote the beloved prophet. Here is George, that we have lost our minds. If you can't kill your baby, what are we going to do? It's like, wow, simmer down here. It's only been 50 years that this has been okay. Before, it was kind of frowned upon. They act like 50 years ago was like, you know, the Dark Ages or something. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we're still in the Dark Ages. Okay, but since you brought up the parliament, or was it the European Parliament?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I would actually like to start with that video, if it's okay with you.
Awesome.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And this is Jimmy Dore covering it.
Perfect. We love Jimmy.
Okay. Pushing new vax on children. Let's see.
Play that funky music. Slow and slow.
Here we go. All right, now this is a little bit of a longer video, but I don't think I'm going to play the whole thing. But here we go, 3, 2, 1.
So the Jimmy Dore Show has been vindicated. We were against vaccine mandates for many reasons, but big one was there was no science behind them. We were onto it very quickly. We had Dr. Robert Malone on our show, which told us that the vaccine was a leaky vaccine, which means that it's not sterilizing, which means that even if you're vaccinated, you can still transmit the virus, you can still contract the virus. And we were also told by Dr. Robert Malone, because it's a leaky vaccine, and those two things I just said are true, we're never, ever going to be able to ever vaccinate our way out of this pandemic. It will be here forever because it has animal hosts. And so I knew that like a year and a half before the rest of the country. And so I was against, and I was on scientific ground by opposing vaccine mandates. And now I had people come on my show and debate them, and it was obvious those people didn't know a fucking thing about anything about the science behind these new mRNA vaccines. They didn't know anything about them. And I did. Why? Because I had a reason to get informed about it, because I got vaccine injured. Now, if you want to, see how they told you over and over again, by the way, according to YouTube, I can't say that the vaccine doesn't stop transmission or contraction. What I can say is that it slows. That's according to YouTube. So I have to give you.
So it slowly seeps into me.
So it slowly seeps into you. It does slow the transmission and contraction. That's what YouTube says. That's not what Pfizer is saying right now. But YouTube is saying, and that's the science. So I'm just letting you know. I'm not saying that.
Oh.
I'm telling you what the here's what I'm going to tell you. Here's what Joe Biden and all the assholes were telling you for a year.
We're not in a position where we think that any virus, including the Delta virus, which is much more transmissible and more deadly in terms of unvaccinated people, the various shots that people are getting now cover that. You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Now that's the president of the United States on television on CNN saying that. If you get this vaccination, you're not going to get COVID.
Look how young and vibrant he looked saying that. And I was laughing at him then, like, you sound slow.
Now here's the head of the CDC, Dr. Rochelle Walensky. She's going to say the same thing.
Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick, and that it's not just in the clinical trials, but it's also in real world data.
Now, I'm pretty sure she's 1,000% lying there. Now, I can't be sure, but I'm going to tell you, I'll show you why I think she's lying. The CDC director. Now, the CDC director I've made the remark that she sounds like a used car salesman every time she talks. And you know why? Because I'm pretty sure she's lying every time she talks. And she's completely captured. And so now let's go. So now we had the president of the United States. We had the head of the CDC. Now let's get the number one news show host on television to tell you that same lie. Let's watch.
We know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus. The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else.
Hey, I'm dumber than Jimmy Dore. How does that feel? I'm dumber than Jimmy Dore. Yeah, she has better hair, but
I was gonna
dumber.
Say. Almost the same haircut.
We had the same haircut.
A little darker, but.
So now we had the number one news show on television. That was Rachel Maddow during Russiagate. She was the number one news show. She lied to you at the top of her lungs. We had the head of the CDC lying to you. We had the president of the United States lying to you. Who did that leave out? That leaves out Fauci. Let's listen to Fauci. Let's see if he tells the same lie.
Vaccines prevent getting infected, prevent getting sick, prevent your hospitalization.
That's what normal vaccines do. That's what vaccines have always done. Before they changed the definition, that's what vaccines did. Watch.
Yeah.
Vaccines prevent getting infected, prevent getting sick, prevent your hospitalization.
So you heard them all say, so now the big thing that's going around is that they never said that. So that's why I'm showing you that first. And why am I showing you all of this? Because here's a member of the European Parliament, and he was interviewing, or he was questioning in the European Parliament. He was questioning Jeanine Small. She's Pfizer's president of international development markets. She was testifying before the European Union Parliament on Monday. This is last Monday when she was asked this question by. So this, he's a Dutch member of parliament, and let's watch what he has to say about his questioning of the Pfizer executive. Here's what he says, and then I'll show you the question.
If you don't get vaccinated, you're antisocial. This is what the Dutch prime minister and health minister told us.
Let me hear that again.
If you don't get vaccinated, you're antisocial.
Boy, I bet that's exactly how Sweden worded that as a slogan to it.
We got a poster.
It's so IKEA basic, isn't it? Okay.
You're antisocial.
Here we go.
This is what the Dutch prime minister and health minister told us. You don't get vaccinated just for yourself, but also for others.
Now, that's what people said who came on the show and debated me over mandates. They said we're supposed to do it for others because they were listening to propaganda and they weren't thinking critically, skeptically at all about what Big Pharma and the government were telling them. We were, because we were looking at other studies that contradicted everything the government and Big Pharma were saying, and so we knew they were lying at the time. Now, my comedian friends didn't look into it, so they didn't know that they were being lied to, and so what they did was repeat propaganda. They did it on this show. They do it on Twitter and Facebook and TikTok. They do it all the time. They're repeating propaganda from Big Pharma uncritically because they don't want to look at what's really going on.
Well, how are you going to get a guest spot on Gutsy?
That's right. So here we go. I'm going to start again.
If you don't get vaccinated, you're antisocial. This is what the Dutch Prime Minister and Health Minister told us. You don't get vaccinated just for yourself, but also for others. You do it for all of society. That's what I said. Today, this turned out to be complete nonsense. In a COVID hearing in the European Parliament, one of the Pfizer directors just admitted to me, at the time of introduction, the vaccine had never been tested on stopping the transmission of the virus. This removes the entire legal basis for the COVID passport. The COVID passport that led to massive institutional discrimination.
And so let me just stop it one more time again and let everybody know that our mission at the show was not anti-vax. We encouraged everyone to get vaccinated who wanted one because it would protect them from serious illness or death. But what we were serious about was against the mandate for this very reason, because we knew this before this woman admitted it. We knew this.
So leaky doesn't mean it leaks out of you into society and also protects them, is what you
mean. That's not what that means.
Okay.
People lost access to essential parts of society. I find this to be shocking, even criminal. Please watch the video until the end.
Voor u, mevrouw Small, heb ik de volgende vraag waar ik een duidelijk antwoord op wil. And I will speak in English so there are no misunderstandings. Was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market? If not, please say it clearly. If yes, are you willing to share the data with this committee? And I really want a straight answer, yes or no, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping immunization before it entered the market? No.
And she acts like, what are you, an asshole for asking me that? Of course we did it.
How would we know something like that? We hadn't heard Rachel Maddow yet.
No, of course. Of course we didn't. She acts like you're the idiot for asking her this question. And who does that? The people who do that, she's a criminal liar. So she knows what he's asking. She knows it's a scandal. She knows this is a scandal. And she's trying to laugh it off. Because what else are they going to do? They're fucking criminals. You don't think they're criminals at Pfizer, at Moderna, at Johnson & Johnson, the people who got half the country hooked on fucking heroin, and the other half they put asbestos in your baby powder? These are the people you're trusting. That's what the face of a fucking criminal liar looks like. That's what they look like. These are the people who are the biggest criminals in the world. That's what they look like.
Liz Cheney's what they look like?
That's right.
we had to really move at the speed of science.
We had to move at the speed of science. How do you measure the speed of science, Kurt? I know that the speed of light is like 186 miles an hour, but right. I don't know how to convert that to Fauci's.
It's based on Fauci vibrations to mask, no mask per minute.
So she's got more to say. Watch this.
Understand what is taking place in the market.
This is scandalous. Millions of people worldwide felt forced to get vaccinated because of the myth that you do it for others. Now this turned out to be a cheap lie. This should be exposed.
Go ahead.
Well, the idea, are you supposed to say you are doing it for others? What's the thing you're supposed to say?
I don't know what you're supposed to say anymore, but I'll tell you this. I don't, just so I'm covered with YouTube, I don't agree. I'm just covering that he's saying this and that she said that.
Okay.
Everybody, vaccines totally stop everything.
It protects the guy next to you is what I was told, and I choose to believe. no matter what some Dutch guy says.
The speed of science. You know, when you rush to get the result you want, even if it means cutting corners and fudging numbers, because you're not going to share your data anyway. That's what the speed of science means, Kurt.
Yeah, because I'm cool. Yeah.
So you'll who will ever know? Who will ever know as long as some jerk-faced Dutch guy doesn't come along asking a bunch of questions?
I'm
but
gone.
Before this guy comes along asking a bunch of questions, you've already banked $100 billion. So, fuck, it doesn't matter what happens
now. Oh, that's the speed of science.
Doesn't matter.
That's how quick you get it into the
bank
before...
That's the speed of science.
Dutch
you
phase.
Hide the truth for a year and a half. You get $100 billion into your coffers. That's the speed of science. That is the speed of science. So,
if you don't get fixed.
Okay, so now I want to show you how. This is how my friend John Campbell, when I say my friend, he won't talk to me but or return my emails. But I he's like a fatherly friend figure for me in my life. So, and I would just like to say hi. I watch you every day. Love you. And I wish you would put out more videos. He doesn't put out, he only even put one out every day. Anyway, here's what he had to say about this revelation.
Small. Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping the immunization before it entered the market? No. And there the word, she said the word no. Now, this is my interpretation of this because this is only me.
This is how he interprets her saying no. We didn't do it. We didn't look into if it stopped transmission. This is what how he interprets that answer.
COVID-Pfizer vaccine was not tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market.
It was not even tested. Not that they tested it. And the numbers weren't as good as they liked, and they suppressed them. They didn't even test that part.
It's science speed. It's off in the horizon.
The science jet is going right over the tests.
Looks like the science jet went over your head, Jimmy.
Yeah. So this is, by the way, this is also called doing my own research, which is shunned by Democrats. Here we go.
This was not done before the vaccine entered general rollout, despite us being assured. Everything, all the normal stages were carried out.
So we were told, no, they did all the normal stages of that thing to make sure this was okay. We were told that. We were reassured over and over again. And now it takes a member of European Parliament, a Dutch guy, to get the actual answer. Why wasn't this question asked before? Why wouldn't Anderson Cooper or Dr. Sanjay Gupta ask Fauci about this? Why wasn't anybody asked about this before? You're telling me nobody was fucking asked this question before?
Brought to you by Pfizer?
Brought to you by Pfizer. That's why. Okay. Kurt just gave us the answer why. That's why. Because those people are brought to you by Pfizer. And if I had that question, people would call me anti-vax. Here we go.
They would be for any new product. And yet it turns out now, we know what, however long it is now later, 2 years later or whatever, that this wasn't done. This really is, I think this is really quite scandalous. And I certainly feel personally let down by it. I'm sure a lot of you do. Ms. Small, again, you know we had to really move at the speed of science. Now, what I'd like to do now is pause and explain to you exactly what the speed of science means.
What do you think he's going to say? Do you think he's going to use the F word?
I haven't got a flipping clue.
I haven't got a flipping clue what that means, the
speed
of science.
Term.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'll back it up so we can hear him say it again.
The speed of science means. I haven't got a flipping clue. I do know not what it is. It's just words without meaning. The speed of science. It's just words without meaning. What does that mean? What's that supposed to mean? What's it supposed to convey? It just has no meaning to me at all. Unless I'm a bit stupid, of course. If Miss, you know, Miss Moore has come on the channel and explained it, then that's absolutely fine, of course. Maybe I'm just being a bit thick here. I don't understand what the speed of science is. But
I know what it is.
Have done.
A bunch of lawyers and whatever prepped her for that thing and
yeah.
said, admit, go, yeah, of course
of
we
course,
didn't know. We move at the speed of science.
We
and
were.
Then just, and then that'll be in the paper if the story goes
that's
out.
That's right.
And you're like, oh, dude, the
well,
speed
have,
of science.
You got to cut them some slack. They're moving at the speed of science.
I'm wondering, because this is Dutch, so, but I want to hear, like, who parrots that term, the speed of science. Like, do you think Colbert can make it all the way up to Colbert?
Oh, of course. But there are already people on Twitter, like, you'll say, hey, they lied about this stuff, and they'll go, hey, but nobody really knew what was happening. That's not. So they were lying. They didn't make mistakes. That when someone lies, it's a lie. And if someone makes a mistake, it's a mistake. These weren't mistakes.
Well, if Trump did it, it would be bad. He did do it.
All right, here we go.
2 science degrees and a research degree. I've never heard the term. So anyway, we need to learn new things.
He's got 2 science degrees and a research degree, and he's never heard the term.
Well, how long did it take him to get them? Then he's got his answer.
It takes a while for that term to make its way to you. That's all. The speed of science is slow.
only been doing science since I was 18. From that point of view, we had to do everything at risk. Now, I'd like to explain to you what everything at risk means now. And again, I can't because I don't know what it means.
Remember, she said that we have to do everything at risk. Oh. I didn't show it, but it. And he's like, "What does that mean? Doesn't mean anything."
Yeah, well, I. what risk?
What
you can't
risk?
Be sued.
Yeah.
What these words mean? I simply don't know what the words mean. I think Dr. Barola, chief executive of Pfizer, of course. Now, these bits are just from a popular news outlet, so I'm not going to spend too much on them. He would turn around and say to himself, if not us, then who? Again, don't understand what that means. Dr. Roll actually felt the importance of what was going on in the world. Well, good. Therefore, as a result of that, we actually spent $2 billion at the risk of self-funded money from Pfizer to better do the research and develop manufacture at risk to be able to make sure that we were in a position to be able to help with the pandemic, which, of course, is very noble of them. Mr. Roos said this is scandalous. Millions of people worldwide felt forced to get vaccinated because of the myth that you do it for others. Now this turned out to be a cheap lie. This should be exposed. Now, I do stress that this is not me saying this. This is Mr. Roos saying this.
I have to stress also. So he's going to speak for me now when he reads the YouTube guidelines.
We'll just clarify the YouTube guidelines now because YouTube, we can't say anything that contradicts local health authorities or the World Health Organization. So I'm certainly not saying that.
No.
And efficacy of the vaccines, I'm not allowed to say content that claims that the vaccines do not reduce transmission or contraction of the disease.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that.
Was that Pfizer lady know her YouTube channel's in danger?
That Pfizer lady needs to call YouTube, but here we go.
And I'd just like to add that I think that Dr. Barola, and I do recognize a veterinarian as a doctor in charge of human drugs, and I don't think there's anything weird about that at all. And they should call him doctor in their statements as if his doctorate applies to this. Because it does.
Ah! So here we go.
Now, some of you might think that was implied by Mr. Roos and Ms. Small, but that's entirely your conjecture. That's nothing to do with me. So let's just close by listening to the fuller version of the video now.
So that's it. So that's how he covered it. I gave you what the YouTube guidelines are. I'm saying that this guy from the Dutch guys, out of his mind, doesn't know what he's talking about. But it's as interesting as a news story. I have to cover it. So I'm covering it as a news story that the Pfizer woman admitted to something that if I said would get my channel taken down on YouTube. The Pfizer lady, that's executive from Pfizer, admitted something in front of the European Parliament that if I said on my own channel, YouTube would take it down.
So please, YouTube, we're trying to cover this at the speed of science. And
I'm trying to cover this at the speed of propaganda. And so, by the way, Pfizer to become a $100 billion behemoth next year thanks to COVID-19 drug and vaccine analysis. Analyst. There it is, $100 billion.
So it worked out.
Okay. That's it. Okay. Then here's the guy, the head of Pfizer. I just want to remind you how much of a liar.
Where's the doctor in front of his name?
It doesn't say. Why doesn't it say doctor?
Dr.
He
Al
says,
Alvorda.
Excited to share that updated analysis from our phase 3 study with BioNTech also showed that our COVID-19 vaccine 100% effective in preventing COVID-19. Now, according to the executive, they never even tested it to see if that was true.
So was each phase not even a different full mouse? Or
who knows? So that said that the vaccine was 100% effective in preventing COVID-19 cases in South Africa. And then he says it again, 100%. But the lady.
Okay, that's a good place to stop it. Yeah, so what do you guys think? Thoughts?
I wanted to hear more, but the speed of science thing kept going through my head. Carla, what do you think?
Well, he was cracking me up. Yeah. He was cracking me up because he's nailing them as well they should. Her answer was disgusting. Like, whatever. Hello. No, we didn't. Like,
she laughed it off.
Like, yeah. Like, you idiot for even asking. Bullshit. So, yes, I was infuriated, but you notice we're not having these kind of fucking Lord forgive me for cussing on this radio show.
Whoa,
sorry.
I like it. Continue. Because
you notice
bullshit.
We're not having these kind of hearings here in the United States. Nobody's asking the fucking questions. Okay? So we're getting ready to go into an election.
Yeah, they're not. You know the one who is Tucker?
Tucker's?
Yeah,
he had that man out.
Yeah. That man was...
You're right. So
he was all
I'm talking
internet,
about
even
my representatives. Hold it. My representatives are not asking these freaking questions.
Well, because they're
okay?
bought and
paid getting ready to go.
We need to start looking
getting
at
ready.
Who pays your representative. That's why I'm like, you know, my sister, I thought Carla would be so proud of my sister. She's a poll judge for the Republicans and made nice with all the Democrats that she had to work with. I said, you know what? I'd go to prison. I couldn't spend 5 minutes with those people. I get mad when I go to vote. They're so pretentious and whatnot. But we need to know who these – who's funding them. You know, we had a wonderful Republican swing, and they turned out to be rhinos. That Adam Kinzinger. Good Lord.
That's
I think,
what I was just
you know,
ready to say. We're getting ready to
you can't trust
they're
them.
Telling us you need to elect Republicans. But we've done that in the past, and all they do is turn out to be little busses. Now, having said that, there is a slate of what I would call America First candidates across this nation running for Congress and Senate. People who have touted their MAGA bona fides. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I don't know why we're not having hearings like that here in the United States. That's what I want to know.
Because every single one of our anyone who is in the superintendent that runs the school, they're all paid off by Big Pharma. Big Pharma has been running the show right now. They paid off all of your corporations. McDonald's, for God's sakes. Everybody's got the McDonald's app. They love – I'm like, oh, my God, this is the end of the world. But you go in there, and they've got their big ad campaigns. Come join the team. Work for McDonald's. And they all look like they are Chinese scientists with the blue masks. That's their campaign to get people to come work there. They bought into the promoting the government propaganda of this is what we want to do, even though nobody has to wear masks anymore. McDonald took the money.
Right.
And that's coming from Big Pharma. So the fact that nobody's saying anything means everybody's been bought off, basically.
I know.
That's what it says to me. And it's sad. And that's why we have to speak louder and more often for every single one that won't speak up. And I do think that they get a glimmer in their eye and they're like, yes, 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 because I'm too afraid to because I will lose my job. How come I don't? But who knows? Who knows why? But we inspire them and the word gets going. You know, they got the poor man's in hiding. We're not in hiding yet. When are we going to be on the FDA's shit list or the FCC's? But who cares? Keep speaking what we know to be true. And even if we have one, I'm just like, oh, we got someone from New York listening to us. How many viewers do we have? It's pretty cool that even if we have one that we don't know that's not in our little group of social friends.
I think a lot of people listen and on other platforms, like in other ways.
Well, I think it's fantastic that, you know, there is an awakening to the fact that none of this made sense. And now it still doesn't make sense that people are getting sick. Now, the new story was this woman that runs the CDC. Does she run the CDC or the WHO?
Yes.
She's
Rachel
vaccinated and is in,
COVID.
In soft quarantine because she has COVID. So basically, none of this shit works. And COVID is still here. It's not that bad. But it's kind of like we're shell-shocked. We're bored with this. We're done with this. Yes, pretty soon it's going to be blasé. No one's going to pay attention to it. And then they're going to bring on all the fake alien invasion, you know, because we're not playing COVID anymore. But people are getting out of their fears of fear and like, oh, my God, the government says, could the government be lying to you that really there's nothing to be afraid of and that none of this makes sense? That could be. Could I? Am I being mean to you again? You know, people are starting to see that this might have been a bunch of bullshit, and I love that bullshit coming back. I've heard it more and more in the last month, and every time I hear the word bullshit. What's a bullshit? I think of my dad because that was his favorite. Bullshit. So I think we need to start to continually call out the bullshit.
Agreed.
For those that are too afraid to, you know, because if we're all silent, that thick, you know how there's like a thick, I'm losing my words. You walk into a room, it's thick with a bad vibe or whatever. Everybody wants to say something, but they dare not. That is what you're going to be living in. And we have to, like, you know, clear the air and let people be able to have free thought, free debate again, for God's sakes. It's America, not fucking North Korea. No matter how much they want it to be and how much they have this little puppet in office, who, by the way, I haven't watched the news, but in the UK, there's a guy that does a huge worldwide cast, and he knows what's going on in America. He goes, I hear tell that your CNN is making fun of your sleepy, creepy Joe for you know, hovering over children for a little bit too long. That's in the news right now. And I'm like, oh, are they pulling back the, you know, hey, he can do anything and we will ignore it and we won't, you know, pay any attention to the fact he's fallen downstairs. We won't report on that. It's not good manners to talk about the fact that our president likes to stand close to little children for too long.
And so,
that came out.
Okay,
and I learned about that.
It's 406.
The gloves are on, I think.
So, Elizabeth,
I like
406.
Yes.
My chicken. So I'm going to do the good news. I hope you guys are ready. There's a ton of it. So I'm going to start right where we've been, which is the good news about the number of states that have already said that they were not going to mandate the vaccine. As you can imagine, they are red states, of course. We started off with a list of, I'm going to go all the way to the bottom of the article. Sorry for not being there already because it's a long article and I'm not going to read the whole thing, of course. But the list started off with 20 states. Since then, it has grown to 43 states. Idaho added their name, Georgia, Arkansas, Ohio, South Carolina, Montana, and the governors are making a statement. Like Kristi Noem in South Dakota said, as a mother and a grandmother, I will not allow this government overreach into our family's personal decisions. As a governor, I will do everything in my power to fight against this for our kids. And so she's, you know, making it clear that she's not going to mandate the vaccine. Missouri, Tennessee, Alabama, and that's in addition to the 20 original states, Iowa, Oklahoma. So you know, practically the entire country has said, I don't care what you say, CDC, we're not going to mandate these vaccines. Okay, so I said that, I told Danielle that my good news today was going to be about censorship, okay? And to a point that you often make, Elizabeth, why aren't they talking about this stuff? And it's because of censorship, right? So, Danielle, you don't get – well, I suppose you can play. We'll go on the buzzer, and you can come in if you remember us having this discussion the other day. Who was the first major political influencer to be censored? Taken off of social media, banned from social media. Jeopardy song.
Political. I was going to say Candace Owens before Trump.
No? Alex Jones was not the first. There was one even before Alex Jones.
Milo?
Milo, there you go. Milo.
No, who's Milo? I don't know Milo.
Okay, well, Milo was a flaming gay guy that was
totally outspoken in his love for Trump. And he was the very first one that Twitter banned from and Facebook banned and Instagram banned all at the same time. He was the test case. Now, Alex Jones followed soon after. And the what they said back then and the same excuse that they have used is that his words were so dangerous that they were killing people.
Oh, okay. My God.
Yes. Their words.
That said every dictator ever.
Yes. Words are violence. Okay? Words are violence. And so steamrolled since then, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Okay? And here's what's happening.
Where were the history teachers that would have said, hello, this is exactly how every single genocide started, from Pol Pot to Stalin to words are dangerous. We have a First Amendment.
And if you, as a matter of fact, if you said that, you got censored as well. And I know you guys have heard me say this, but I'm going to say it again. They censored the President of the United States.
Yeah.
Took him off all social media platforms.
That's why we need to wonder, who are they? Who are these people that were able to do this? We always give them this vague anonymity.
They're not necessarily anonymous, Elizabeth. They are what we call big tech.
Are big bankers? Plutocrats?
Big tech. Okay, so they have this power, and there's a question now, actually, who gives it to them, and I believe it's the CIA, okay, that
Now, do you remember, I'm going to stop interrupting you, but I'm going to put this out there. There used to be a time, and we were just talking about this, in Chicago, we had newscasters that had credibility, and they all left Channel 5 when they hired Jerry Springer. And we lost all of our credible newscasters that wouldn't go along, and they'd question something like this as they're doing the newscast. And we only have one left who refused to do the banking lie, who refuses to do whatever comes from New York. But where are the people that have – it can't all be run by the fucking Wizard of Oz, like a book, those three little men that they own the thing. And I'll stop.
I was going to answer your question, okay? We gave these big media companies, supposedly, the power to influence and the power to do this, okay? And they use what we against conservatives, like these are private companies and they can do whatever they want to do. And if they feel like that these people's voices the good news this week, okay, is that there was a lawsuit filed in Missouri against these companies finally. Okay, bombshell court order outlines proven government big tech. So Americans worried about the government conspiring. Listen to that, Danielle. Worried about the government conspiring with social media companies to censor their speech aren't conspiracy theories. It's been proven. Just this past Friday, what appears to be one of the only honest judges left in America. Stop. Sorry, you guys. Ordered several key figures to sit for depositions in a court case brought against the federal government by the states of Louisiana and Missouri. In the case, the states allege that several key bureaucracies in the federal government have conspired with big tech companies to censor free speech on social media platforms. There's your answer, Elizabeth. It's not these Wizard of Oz men behind the curtain. It's our government conspiring with these big tech companies. When the case was filed, the judge granted a very rare expedited discovery. That expedited discovery produced profound results. This article is from I'm sorry, I should have done that to begin with. Tracy Beans on Dark to Light.
Love her.
Platform. Yes, we love her. Rare expedited discovery. The expedited discovery produced profound results. Now the parties return to court to ask the judge to force people who wouldn't usually be subject to deposition. The government and government bureaucrats can decide whether they're whether they can be sued or not. They can say, no, we don't want to be sued. They have immunity.
Because of national security. Yes. When,
right?
When
well,
can it be treason?
Also, okay,
when can this
also,
be treason?
It's coming. Hmm. Hold on. Also, if they pass these rules, quote unquote, about laws about government bureaucrats not being able to be sued, because the inference is that that's all that would be happening all the time. They would spend their entire time in court, which maybe they should. But to ask the judge to force people who wouldn't usually be subject to deposition at all, let alone in an expedited manner, to sit for depositions to get them under oath about what they have done. The judge granted that request, and his order illuminates a conspiracy that spans almost every government institution in direct contravention of the United States Constitution and worse than any of us could have really imagined. To summarize, we learned Friday that Anthony Fauci, the State Department, CISA, C-I-S-A, the CDC, the White House, and other government organizations have each engaged in unconstitutional and, quite frankly, Orwellian behavior, and it has been proven, not alleged proven, it's been proven that they have acted in this manner. From GEMS, the head of CISA has designated your thoughts, listen to this, as critical infrastructure. Now, let me read that again. The head of CISA has designated your thoughts as critical infrastructure within the United States government. The Census Bureau got involved with tracking down people posting what the Ministry of Truth considers mis, dis, or malinformation. CISA is calling your thoughts cognitive infrastructure, and the Census Bureau is somehow assisting the government with censoring the facts it doesn't like. These are only 2 points of a wide-ranging decision that you absolutely must read. I adopted the column from a thread I did on True Social. Check it out and pray for this judge. So here's the thread. I promised you a thread on this order in the Missouri versus Biden case, and oh, a thread you shall receive. This order is absolutely breathtaking, and judges don't often make declarations of fact. Listen to that. So they've already been proven. The judge says, you proved your case already. Is still to be decided case. He does here some background. Expedited depositions are relatively unheard of, and deposition of federal officials are even more unheard of. They usually don't happen. This will be a long one and will take a bit of a so grab some coffee. Here's the order if you want to read along with it. But and it's I have this stuff. I can post it on Seeds of Change if you want to read it.
Please do.
First, understand case is about. It alleges that members of the government conspired with and directed social media platforms to censor people and topics they didn't like because of mis, dis, and malinformation. So if you want some background, there's done a lot of work. This is just one of many. CISA's 2022 Interim Election Security Plan says MDM, mis, dis, and malinformation, is a persistent threat. This case covers several different verticals, and while I wish I was a party of the case, Gateway Pundit, which is a media platform that they kicked off Twitter a long time ago. So I got kicked off Twitter, General Flynn, the President of the United States, and Gateway Pundit all on the same day. Okay. Is represented from media so when verdict comes in, we can appropriate to the verticals we need as necessary. The details of the origin of COVID, election integrity, early treatment, Hunter's laptop, and more. Okay, so these are the things that were censored by CISA and the Census Bureau, for goodness sakes. They said our thoughts belong to the government and they are critical infrastructure, so therefore they can do what they want with them. That's their argument. That is what they told social media platforms and how they got them to censor us. Also, the reader, who are the requesting? It's freaking crazy. Read who they're requesting expedited depositions from, and the head of CISA is included along with Fauci. Fauci has gotten the most attention, but it's bigger than that. Okay. Top executive department officials should not absent extraordinary circumstances be called to testify regarding the reasons for taking official action. This is what the judge said. This is his statement. First, the judge makes sure to tell everyone how rare and difficult it actually is to surpass the burden needed for expedited easy. So he explains why he did it, the judge. You don't want anyone being able to require expedited disposition of high-ranking officials because if they're sitting for a deposition in every single court case anyone brought forward, they wouldn't ever get anything done. That's the reason why they make it difficult for us to subpoena, call for depositions for these government officials because that's all they'd be doing, okay? This judge
right.
said it's so bad that I'm going to let this happen. Think about how certain parties were so that's why it's extraordinary what this judge has done. The next bit of the order addresses the defendants' government's objections, which, of course, are all based on procedure and rules that aren't really applicable. It also addresses the fact that some of the parties to be disposed are former government officials. Ha! Jen Psaki, okay? So what? Or weren't listed on the first complaint, but are on the amended complaint. The judge puts most of that to bed, but then goes on to say that he'll detail his reason for each request. This is where it gets good. Anthony Fauci, the first alleged he colluded to censor speech about COVID origins. We know he did that. And they allege that he was potentially behind funding the research to create the virus, and that he had a conference call which resulted in people making statements in medical journals about the origins of COVID. It's just getting good. Hang in there. Plaintiff also urged that Dr. Fauci engaged in written and oral communications with Mark Zuckerberg about the government's COVID-19 response and allegedly widespread social media censorship of the lab leak hypotheses ensued. Communications with Mark Zuckerberg about the government's COVID-19 response and allegedly widespread social media censorship of the lab leak hypotheses ensued. So this judge saw enough evidence, and judge is stating this stuff. He has all the evidence. The next section contains the allegations of the Great Barrington Declaration, which was when all of this really started with the COVID stuff. Do you guys remember the Great Barrington Declaration?
I do.
No.
So the Great Barrington Declaration was a bunch of doctors jumped up and said, because remember, they locked the entire country down, okay,
right.
because of some hockey stick graph in England that said you're all going to die, okay? At the beginning of COVID, they put out what they were projections. But they made
right.
it sound like they had evidence that it was going to be true. We think it might, but they told us something different. The Great Barrington Declaration said, no, those are just projections. It could also go this way. Wait a minute. We can't lock the entire country down of what some fool says in England. So let's take a breath. That's what the Great Barrington Declaration said. This isn't science, okay? And what happened, watch this. This section contains the allegations about the Great Barrington Declaration and how the heads of NIH worked to create a quick and devastating takedown of the declaration. Reading this language from the emails is actually quite chilling. There are unelected bureaucrats discussing the takedown of alternative scientific opinions related to the most significant medical crisis in the history of man. Surely you'd think they would welcome alternative viewpoints. Please note sarcasm. Twitter did to Alex Berenson. So he was part of the Great Berenson Declaration. It wasn't just him, though. There were dozens of scientists that signed on to what Alex Berenson was saying. Okay.
Twitter recently settled, yes, you read that right, a case with Berenson and reinstated him to the platform. This kind of censorship has happened to untold numbers of people. The government cannot collude with private business to censor speech. They cannot. It is an affront to all we stand for. They did. Even the president got in on the action. Don't get me started on the vaccines. Then plaintiffs allege Pfizer got in on the action because Berenson's speech threatened science from Fauci directly. So it goes on and on and on. I want you to read this very closely. The judge says the plaintiffs have already proven that Fauci had personal knowledge about the censorship and that publicly available emails that prove, emphasis added, that Dr. Fauci was communicating and acting as an intermediary for others to, in order to censor information from being shared across multiple social media outlets. He hasn't said allege or potentially show. He has used the word prove. This is the judge saying this. They already have it. So you get the point. It's bad. It's good. And they are going to get these guys on the record, and it's going to be under oath.
May I offer a prediction?
Go ahead.
The other side is going to come in and argue, yeah, we could have gone into a smoke-filled back room with Fauci and Psaki and Zuckerberg and done this. It was our prerogative. We could do it all. Because the reason that Psaki is on defendants is because she said it in a press conference. This is not
right.
A conspiracy theory. She said it in a press
right.
conference.
Right. So yes, and that will, you're right, that will be their argument. Well, we told you we were doing it, but we, you know, no, they cannot. It doesn't make it okay that you let us know. Get it for next week. Okay. So next we're going to talk a little bit more about censorship. So you get the point. It's bad. They have proven their case already. So what will happen? There we go, Danielle. I don't know. I will tell you that this is landmark because they cannot do that. I don't care what excuse they make, it is anathema to the Constitution of the United States. They cannot, and they have used it not just for COVID. That thing goes on for on and on and on. They did it about election denialism as well. It worked so well for COVID, they jumped in with both feet, with people's righteous, allowable voice to say that our election was stolen. That's where it gets hinky. It's not COVID. Next, to this point, FBI raids star ABC News producer's home. Emmy-winning producer James Gordon Meek had his home raided by the FBI. His colleagues say they haven't seen him since. At a minute before 5 a.m. on April 27th, ABC News' James Gordon Meek fired up a tweet with a single word, facts. The network's national security investigative producer was responding to former CIA agent Mark Polymeropoulos, I don't know how to say it, take that the Ukrainian military with assistance from the U.S. was thriving against Russian forces. Polymeropoulos' tweet, filled with acronyms indecipherable to the layperson like ITPS, EU, whatever, itself a reply to the missive from the Washington Post Pentagon reporter Dan Lemoff, who noted the wealth of information the U.S. military had gathered about Russian ops by observing their combat strategy in real time. The interchange illustrated the interplay between the national security community and those who cover it. Also important. So there are people now saying that the media is not the media, it's the national security state. Next thing you know, this guy gets the FBI raids him, and they haven't seen him since. With 9 years at ABC under his belt, a buzzy Hulu documentary poised for Emmy attention, an upcoming book on the military's chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan, The 52-year-old bear of a man seemed to be at the height of his powers and the pinnacle of his profession. The first thing Meek's neighbors, John and Natoli, noticed that morning was a black utility vehicle with blacked-out windows blocking traffic in both directions on Columbia Pike. They arrested him because he was getting ready to talk about the withdrawal from Afghanistan, and they haven't seen him since. Meek has been charged with no crime, but independent observers believe the raid is among the first and quite possibly the first to be carried out on a journalist by the Biden administration. A federal magistrate judge in the Virginia Eastern District Court signed off on the search warrant the day before the raid. But here we go, backfire. A recent New York Times Siena College poll found that more than half of registered voters view the mainstream media as a threat to democracy. That would be the same mainstream media that regularly accuses average Americans of being a threat to democracy for the crime of not supporting Democrats. Nearly 60% see mainstream media as a threat. So, our voices are being heard. It's bad. It's bad now. It's really bad. Where U.S. military forces are fully prepared to cross into Ukraine, something to pay attention to. They're geared up. They're ready. Brigadier General John Lubas, the division's deputy commander, stressed this is not a training deployment, but rather a combat deployment from which forces need to be ready to fight tonight, depending on how the situation escalates on the border, of course, the border of Ukraine. So I'm a little worried about that. That we do have an election coming up. It looks like it's not just going to be a red wave. It looks like it's going to be a red tsunami. So be prepared over the next 15 days for worrisome things. You know, the last time they lost an election, there were people beaten in the streets and killed. There were riots. So just stock up on food and water is my recommendation. I'm not sure why that's good news, but
yeah, I was going to say, wow, that's a little bit of a letdown.
Well, here, let's talk
the good news
first. I was listening to my guy in the UK was talking a lot about the happenings over there in the Ukraine and the behind-the-scenes thoughts of Putin. And he ended, you know, usually his streams go, smoke them if you got them, is his key phrase, because it's all going to hell. But at the end of this one, it was like, you know, what we really need to do is just live our lives. Live our lives. Enjoy your life.
It's true. God is still sitting on his throne. He hasn't surrendered his authority at all, not even one tiny atom of it. So yeah, but still that doesn't mean that,
and,
you know.
And have faith.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Have faith.
Get out and
you know, enjoy your family. Enjoy your day. We don't know. We're not promised tomorrow. And that's what we always forget, even with this entire, you know, we're all going to die. We need to be locked up and, you know, the virus is going to get us. We lost 3 years of our lives doing this.
Yes.
And we can't continue to live our lives in fear of what might happen. Enjoy your life. You know, be knowledgeable of what is going on, but also be knowledgeable of the fact that life is good. Don't miss one minute of it. And don't, you know, live your life like, oh, I can just run to the Taco Bell. You know, Taco Bell might be closed. Yes, have food in your house. Be self-sufficient, but also enjoy each day. And let's, you know, let's not let this overwhelm us and have faith. And I like that a lot.
True.
I think that's
get out
wonderful
and vote.
Words.
Go vote. That's my message to you. Let's flood the system. Let them hear our voices that know we're not going to take it anymore. That's how you do it. And I know it seems kind of, I don't know, you know, my vote doesn't count. They stole an election. But I still am going to go out and vote, and I'm going to throw my packet of tea in the Boston Harbor. I'm going to do it. So you guys can hear my chickens.
Yeah.
I'm going to
feed my babies. I want you guys to have a wonderful week. Yes, go out and live your life, touch some grass, get your hands in the dirt, prepare your garden for next spring. And I'll talk to you guys next week, okay?
You have a wonderful day and love those chickens and enjoy your weather. I hope you get good weather.
Beautiful.
We had a wonderful day.
Love you.
Take care, Carla.
All right, you guys. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye now.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Yeah, she's good. She is good.
Yeah. We're trying to live what we preach, right? The chicken in my oven is from the grocery store. It's not from our flock, but but it will be if we need to. What's that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
You know, back to the court case she was talking about. It was like one step away from perhaps calling out the fact that there's continuity of government, that really doesn't matter what happens, the deep state is in the background. And that got called out for the very first time ever when Oliver North was on the chopping block for the Iran-Contra hearings. And that was the first time that ever came out that was a real thing. And it's funny that, you know, you've got the behind-the-scenes, you know, bone-chilling viewpoint that the American people's thoughts are an infrastructure for this machine that they have going. I would love to see the machine exposed. You know, because really, let's just, you know, go into the future, that perhaps the election once again doesn't go the way that it should, or that we'd like it to, and we think we're stuck with this unconstitutional, tyrannical, North Korean-style government that we have. We don't have to comply. You know, we can continue living our truth. And that's what we need to keep forefront, is they are not the boss of us. We have ethical, proven and true laws. The Hammurabi Code is based upon, and it's what all the governments used is a code, and that is based upon the Ten Commandments, and the Constitution is based upon that, and those are the things we need to steer away from. Those are what we can, you know. And you know, so funny, I was listening to this lecture about the emperor that was after Nero in Rome, and how he changed the course of history a bit. And they talked about how the Roman army would go in and take over a country. And the way they would take it over is they would, and even the Romans, they gave their peasants an allotment of beer, an allotment of food. It was almost like the social credit thing that they wanted, not the credit, that's not it, but the government check that they want everybody to have, working
basic income.
Wage. Basic income, yes. The Romans had that, and they basically enslaved each group of people with this, and when they went to the north and took over what would be the northern countries, Ireland and Britain, they gave them things that they embraced as culture, but it was a mode of enslavement. To, you know, here's your bread and circus, and here's your food and
exactly.
And they took away the ability for man to have their own land and etch out their own way of life. And we've embraced, I thought, oh, my God, look at how we've embraced. It's culture. It's not. It's enslavement. And it's like you need to go back and take your power back and be dependent upon someone who has other ideals than you do. And we're not at the behooving of whatever the Democrats or the Republicans or whoever gets into office. If it doesn't coincide with your God and given freedoms and your way of life, I'm sorry. I'm going this way. You can make as much noise as you want, but I'm not participating. And that's what we need to have, that is an empowering freedom.
I totally agree.
And you know?
So I've played this before. It's only about a 3-minute clip, but just a little over a year ago on 10/7/21, I was on the Clay and Buck show. Were you around? Have I played this clip for you?
You did, but I'd love to hear it again because it was great.
Because it's only like, and this was the first time that this vaccine was tried, you know, was being thrust on us. I mean, because San Diego and LA both decided that they were going to make it mandatory for students to get this vaccine without, basically any, any laws being passed, right? They're trying to, you know, capitalize on this emergency use authorization or this emergency orders. So they were trying to put, but this is still very much relevant today because of what the CDC just did, passing unanimously the, to put the COVID shot on the schedule, on the vaccine schedule. So this is what we were facing a year ago, and this is what we're going to be facing in the future. So I'll play this. Just hopefully whoever's listening will hear this and be emboldened to not comply. So here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We are rolling through the Thursday edition of the program. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Encourage you to download podcasts. Make sure you don't miss a moment. You can search out my name, Clay Travis, or Buck Sexton on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, everywhere, Google Play, that you might be interested in listening to the podcast. And you'll be able to even find that just by typing in Clay or Buck, which is a good sign about the growth of the show and also probably a sign that there aren't a lot of other Clays and Bucks out there with podcasts. We got a lot of parents who want to weigh in about the idea of mandatory vaccinations for school-age children 5 to 11, which is what Dr. Scott Gottlieb said he expects to potentially be permissible. Again, if you want to go get your kid vaccinated for COVID, I think you should be able to do that. But the idea of what Gavin Newsom is doing in California and what I believe many other governors are going to do as well and try to mandate all school children get this is a major red flag and a big no for me as a parent of a 6-year-old and an 11-year-old. My kids are not getting vaccinated for COVID. I think they probably already had it, because both my wife and I have had COVID. We haven't gotten them antibody tested, but we know they're at virtually no risk from COVID, and it makes no sense to put this vaccine in their body, in my opinion. But some of you may disagree. Some of you may agree. Let's go to Danielle first up on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
Hello. I just wanted to say that my message is very simple. We will not comply. And that is precisely the opposite of being a domestic terrorist. We're just not
Amen.
We're withdrawing consent, right? We're just taking the consent away. That has nothing to do with violence.
Thank you. Danielle, where do you live? What state?
I live in California. I'm in San Diego Unified School District.
And Danielle, can I ask you, my understanding is that first of all, Newsom said there'll be a mandate for children to get vaccinated for next fall. The vaccine hasn't even been approved for children yet, but that's for the 12 up age group, I guess, but I'm sure he'll expand that. Where do teachers fall into this? Are they finally now forced to get the shot or lose their jobs, or have they still been stalling?
Well, it's interesting. They actually are under the mandate. However, they are allowed religious exemptions where our children basically are not.
Right.
That's interesting. Thank you for the call. I mean, I think it's going to be a major challenge. And I told you, Buck, that my phone started ringing as soon as this mandate was announced.
It's almost like a big plot by the Tennessee and Texas, I don't know. It's not the tourism board, the come live here board, whoever's in charge of that,
It is the best pitch they could have.
Yeah, there's recruitment for moving to a red state than Gavin Newsom or Kathy Hochul in New York State.
So there it is. It's very relevant. I just want to say hello to the caller. Press 1 if you want to be a part of the show. If not, we're happy to have you listening.
Hello. Welcome.
So isn't that, I mean, it's so relevant still now, because just from what they've decided to do, right, with the vaccine schedule.
More so, because now there's so much more information and evidence out there. I was actually just reading some comments in a feed about the follow the trail of money of corruption. And, you know, the CDC is a corporation. It's not a government entity that's without this is a money-making corporation is the CDC. And their main goal is to sell and promote vaccines at the moment. Because they go through the motions of, well, we're gonna run it up the flagpole and see if it's safe. And they don't even take a week to do this. They announce it one day, and the next day it's been approved. And it's like, can't you even act like you're investigating things? Was that enough time to read any evidence?
They don't need to.
They don't need to. But we need to start holding them to account that they're not actually doing their job, and they don't have our best interests at heart, and they're simply passing laws for us to buy their product and forcing us to buy their product. And
yes,
that needs to be the question. This comment here, is our caller here? They kind of got hung up on. I hope they call back and get back in. But along the same lines, this
John
comment
from earlier?
Was it John? I'd love to talk to him. John, call back.
No, it's not the same person who's listening now.
That'd be great. But real quick, our governor is being just lambasted on these feeds right now. And someone just brought out the fact that the Governor Pritzker's aunt is operating a transgender camp in our state. And they're really pushing the transgender thing in the schools right now, in the hormone replacement. And they said, I'm wondering, and the Pritzker family is making money off this, even though, because he's got like puppet companies. He has his family members, you know, in this blind trust he talks about, oh, I'm not making any money off of the testing, even though his family owns the testing companies, and he gave all the $9 billion back to charity that he made off of this. Now it's coming to fore that they're making money off of these specialized camps that they're producing magically out of thin air by, you know, putting this into the curriculum that you need to question every child's gender and get them on hormone replacements. And it's like, we need to put people's motives in the forefront. Are you making money off of this? Is this about public health, or is it about forming a new industry? And the CDC is just blatantly nothing more than the strong-armed mafia end of a medical mafia organization that is known as Big Pharma. And, you know, if they wanted to make any kind of a restitution for their good graces and their good reputation, they would allow people to bow out with a religious objection instead of demonizing and passing laws to take our God-given right to say no thank you to take a certain drug. They should give that back to us if they wanted to be put back in.
Well, I think the problem is that the education system is illegal. Like the whole Department of Education is an illegal entity. And so because they're illegal, they're basically like the mafia. And they're right there, doing whatever they want to do, have no real, legal, ethics to back them up. They just do whatever they want to do. But with that, I would like to
put
last clip for the day. It's a Jimmy Dore about this. So this is about
can I go real quick?
Yeah, for sure.
Just to finish thought on the education system and how it operates as an illegal strong arm of the government is they're pushing these ideologies, whether it be, forcing children to question their identity in the grade school and pushing a hormone therapy, or now the new thing is the equity, whatever equity is, but they are not actually educating the children. So many, we just had our superintendent just say, "Oh my God, we failed. We tried, but it was so hard. We couldn't teach them to read and write, but we taught them these things." And it's like, "No, I'm sorry. What is your job? Job is to teach them to read and write, make them smart, not
right.
make them
right.
You know." So anyways, that was my thought on the education. So what is this?
Okay, so this is Jimmy Dore's take on COVID vaccines being pushed on children. And this is much shorter than the last one. Sorry about the birds in the background. They're happy about something. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
I just want to remind everybody that it is now undeniable that the vaccine can cause more myocarditis in men under 40 than COVID-19. So, do you get that?
Now, you're saying my cardiologist was wrong?
So, I'm not saying anything about your cardiologist. I'm reporting what this doctor, Vinny Prasad, said on Twitter, that because there's a study that he didn't just make it up. There's a study, and there it is, you can see, that... Now, in the overall population, this is the way the CDC and reports this. They say overall, worse. You have worse myocarditis if you get COVID than if you get the vax. But they don't break it down into age groups. They're saying if you're 94 or 4 years old, it's the same. No. So he's saying no, that men under 40 have a get more myocarditis from the vax than they do from COVID. That's what he's saying, and that's because he's got that. We already covered this. This is not controversial. What is controversial is the way the CDC reports it. They glump everybody together. They don't say, well, you get more myocarditis in age this to this, but less in this to this, and if you're 70 and over, you get less. They don't do it like that, which is they should. Why do you think they don't do it like that? So I just want to let you know, and one more piece of material before I get to the main story. I'm burying the lead. For children without a serious medical condition, the danger of severe COVID is so low as to be difficult to quantify. The risk of long COVID among children, a source of fear among many parents, is also very low, and that's from the New York Times, and that's from when we had the more virulent strain of the Delta. Also, according to the CDC, among children, the mortality risk from COVID-19 is actually lower than from the flu. Keep those two things in mind. U.S. CDC advisors approve adding COVID shots to vaccine schedules. That means for children. Oh, Pfizer expects to hike U.S. COVID vaccine price to $110 to $130 per dose. Those things came back to back. Those things happened back to back. The CDC Advisory Committee on Vaccines on Thursday approved adding COVID-19 vaccines to the agency's recommended immunization schedules for both children and adults. They're doing it right out in the open. And, of course, they're not going to say anything on MSNBC or CNN or Fox or ABC News or the Wall Street Journal or the Washington Times. But I'll tell you here, they're doing it right out in the open. By the way, looks like it might not take so long for them to build that pediatric market after all. The CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, it's called the ACIP, they voted unanimously to add the vaccines to the schedules, which contain recommendations to physicians on which shots their patients should receive and when. Please explain something to me. This is an MD talking on Twitter. If the COVID vaccines are safe for children, why vote to permanently protect Pfizer and Moderna from vaccine injury liability? It's a good question. Several committee members stressed that they were not setting a requirement for anyone to receive shots. Not yet anyway. The CDC has recommended that Americans over 6 months of age should receive a COVID-19 vaccine. Do you think that the CDC will ever be able to repair the trust with the American people that they've wrecked during COVID? Do you think that they'll ever be able to do that? Do you remember what I showed you at the top of this segment from the New York Times, what they said the risk of children with COVID are? Do you remember that? Should receive. Some parents and doctors who are against COVID-19 vaccine mandates have expressed concerns during public comments at the meetings and on social media that adding the shots to the U.S. CDC schedule will encourage state regulators to require them for public school attendance, and that's exactly what it will do. Mm-hmm. Adding the COVID-19 vaccine to the recommended childhood immunization schedule does not constitute a requirement that any child receive the vaccine, said Dr. Nirav Shah, an ACIP member and director of Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Well, I'm getting mixed messages, I'll tell you that, doctor. And I'm very skeptical that anybody in the government is ever telling me the truth, and certainly not from Big Pharma. So that, that you need to be a little bit more helpful than that, doctor. Shah noted that there are currently vaccines on the schedule, such as seasonal flu shots, that are not required for school attendance in many places. The decision around school entrance for vaccines rests where it did before, which is with the state level, the county level, and at the municipal level, Shah said. I just want to let you know, the guy who sits on the Pfizer board, also the head of Thomson Reuters Foundation, London-based charity, Thomson Reuters, president of chief executive officer of Thomson Reuters. Curious that this Reuters story doesn't include any information about what the actual risk to children from COVID is and what the potential side effects for children from the vaccine are. I wonder why they didn't include any of that stuff. I just wonder. I wonder what their journalistic decision-making process is. I just wonder because it wasn't in the story from Reuters. I wonder why. I wonder why. Let me bring in Jackson the Hare Hinkle. They're doing it right out in the open. What do you think, Jackson?
It just makes me sick. I told you that before we started the stream. We were talking about this, but it just makes me sick what they're doing. And how much they lie, or I shouldn't say lie, how much they distort the facts. Because anytime I bring this up with someone, the myocarditis issue that you had at the start here, which is pertinent to the story of, you know, the vaccine being added to students' vaccine schedules, recommended schedules, they always say, well, oh, the CDC says that it's seven times more likely to get it from COVID-19 than from the vaccine. Well, the question is in young people, and specifically men, because that's where we're seeing it. It's just so sick and twisted. And my question is, why is there this – I saw. Did you see them take the vote on this?
No.
So the CDC has a random panel of God who knows who that's influenced by what companies and institutions, I can only imagine. And, you know, they get to take, like, a vote on this. They have a vote above all of us. They have a vote above parents. They have a vote above schools and municipalities and states, like you just pointed out. And they get to – it's like a group of, like, 10 people that gets to decide what's the recommended vaccines for people across the country in schools. And they chose this. And it's just like, who are these people? What is their qualification? Because they've lied every at every single corner throughout the pandemic. And now we're supposed to trust them with our kids' health? Come on.
All I know is that the vaccines are safe and effective, and that they will stop the they will slow the transmission and contraction of the virus, and they will prevent you from getting seriously ill or hospitalized or death. And they're fantastic. And good for CDC pushing it on to 6 months old. Good for them. I think it's great. Fantastic. And I'm just reporting the story. I can't tell you anything else. I can't. There you go. Huh? Fantastic. Hey, we're going to see you in Miami, West Palm Beach, Denver, Palm Springs, Austin, Burbank. That's right. The Saturday after Thanksgiving here in Burbank, and lots of dates in Los Angeles in December. Go to JimmyDoreComedy.com for a link for all our tickets. And join our premium program when you go there, too.
Okay, so I guess I just have to kind of get out of the way that obviously he is saying those things about them being safe and effective and all of that stuff because he has to, right? Like, that's almost like the bit that he's doing is that, you know, he's
sarcasm.
Says,
yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But he has to say these things mm-hmm. or he will lose his YouTube channel. I lost my YouTube channel in all this nonsense.
It's crazy. You know, the one thing I heard a story on the news was talking about the new price for the vaccine being $130. And they had to say that, of course, that's no different than all the other vaccines. That's generally the same price that we recommend everyone have. And I thought to myself, well, that's interesting that you're trying to quell the public outroar or outcry that's going to come with, but it was free, and then why do we have to pay now? And people really need to start questioning, why are all of these shots so expensive? And why are they probably covered by your insurance, but most people go and they pay a copay, $50. And the doctor gets to charge astronomical amounts, and they get their check based upon what they're pushing. And during the pandemic, I heard a lot of people having their doctors calling, the doctor's offices calling for them to come in and get this and that, because the fact that people weren't going out anymore was cutting into the doctor's paycheck. And, you know, doctors get paid via big pharma. And every time I used to go to a doctor, he would make everybody wait when there was a pharmaceutical representative came in. We all had to wait for him to talk with him. And that's how they make their money. And people really need to start questioning, why are we taking all these shots? And why are they costing so much money? And why there's like this chain of cause and effect. The sicker we are, the richer the doctors are. And if anything good comes out of this, perhaps people will start connecting the dots on this. It's like, do our kids need all these shots? And then I don't know why, and no one's really talking about all of the new industries that are opening up and the new medicines that are coming out of nowhere. Just add water, and we've got children's cardiology centers are now springing up everywhere.
Yes.
We never, you know, it's like, wait a minute, they're making money off of the side effect of this shot, because children never had heart problems like this. It was an old people's disease. And no one's asking these questions. And the fact that
it's interesting because, of course, there are people asking these questions. They get silenced. But, like, the weirdest thing about it is that children are they're like the canary in the coal mine, so to speak. They're
mm-hmm.
you know, we can blame so many things, you know, bad lifestyles, McDonald's, drinking, smoking, lifestyle choices. When an adult dies, you know, it's like, you know, there's so many variables, but when a child dies, you know,
right.
it's a little bit, it's different. And people really should start paying attention when, you know, cases of strokes and heart attacks and seizures and all of these things, sudden deaths start happening to children. And yeah, and so that's where we are right now as a society is that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Nobody's asking, why are we so damn sick? That's a question nobody ever asks. They just put up another cause, another parade, another ribbon, and we have need to support it. Instead of questioning, why are we so damn sick?
You know, and if we didn't, and here's the bad news in all of this, is that how many parents questioned sudden infant death syndrome? Right? Like, these are babies that just die for no, for, you know, the medical diagnosis of a shrug, you know? And it's like, so.
Well, you know, I think because, you know, you've got the grief factor. Your child just died. They're just devastated. And then, of course, the authority figure, the doctor says, it's sudden infant death syndrome. It's a disease.
I always had a problem with that. Our caller decided to raise her hand and be a part of the conversation. Sorry to cut you off. But if you don't mind, I will let caller in my area code. Hi, who's this?
Oh, hi. I had to unmute. Hi, my name is Sarah, and I'm calling from San Diego. And I jumped in. Hi, when you were really getting heated about the monetizing of this pandemic thing and the doctor's visits, you know, because I'm in my late 60s, and what I wanted to say was, you know, and why are we all dying? Well, a lot of this stuff is in the food, the very food that we eat and in the air that we're breathing, mm-hmm. right? And I know that you guys know this, but I thought I would take a moment to say this, that I also know this. So I've been listening to Freedomizer Radio since 2012. I love this station. But back then, we were talking about what's in the food. And the lack of power that we felt that we perhaps had regarding what is in the food, you know, the, mm-hmm. quote, natural ingredients, because I personally have been reading food labels since the 70s. That's just who I am. And so I have been aware of those kinds of things, right? However, most people don't. Most people go crazy when they see me reading the labels if they ever have to shop with me. So I just don't shop with anybody else because I continue to read the food labels.
Good
it's really important. And I think we're in the middle of a war, and it's kind of like germ warfare. The war is all around us. It's in the air. It's in our food. And now, and then they created this goofball thing, which one of the things I've noticed, I've started to need in-home caregiving, right? And so in California, the Fruit Loop Central of the universe, that's what I've been using that word all day because of the baseball game. Fruit Loopers, here we are. You wouldn't
love
know
it.
I ended up here. But I found out I had such a hard time finding someone who was actually certified by the county. Turns out they needed to be vaccinated. And then I went nuts. I was like, no, because I'm someone who I believe is sensitive to the shedding. We all know what shedding is. So I do not want to be around anyone who has just been vaccinated. What do I do? Here's my point. Is I'll tell you, that's why I mentioned, you know, being someone who's read food labels since the 70s. However, as someone who's now in their late 60s who does have other real heavy-duty health issues, it's like psychologically your strength starts to leave from you. So now I'm having to deal with this, you know, you feel powerless to begin with. But now, you know, it's like, so who do I, oh, right, that's going to come across real well. Me telling the county, like, do not send over anyone who's been vaccinated. You know, there's no advocacy agency that I can go to that's going to stand up for me for that, and there should be. And so one of the things I've been thinking about, because I guess I was like reminiscing how long it is that I've been listening to this station and the kind of things we talked about, is I keep thinking kosher. Like, I just think it is amazing that those people got that done. Now, I know it was a long time ago, and government was a little bit different back then. But it is amazing that they got that done, that kosher thing, because they are the only people that I know of who successfully did it. And that's what we need. We need to do that, you know. Whatever it is that they did, I haven't been able to search out the history correctly, but I've been watching this really interesting, it's a dramatization of Jews who live in contemporary Jerusalem called Shtizel. And I got to see, like, what it might be like, because that's those people are dealing with, kind of what we're talking about. They all of a sudden had science come into their lives, you know. They didn't used to go to regular doctors. They didn't have, they had their own, they had their own lawyers, their own medical system. And but now they started to maybe use them, you know, if they had a heart attack or something like that. So they're dealing with this thing that we're dealing with, but they've got that strong hold on, like, kosher. Man, you can't tell us what to do about our food, about what we put in our mouths. And they really did a good job with that. They did it successfully, and that's what we need to do, learn how to do that. They did a good job. So,
absolutely. And
I totally agree.
Religious freedom. And even how crazy everybody thought it was, it was their religious freedom and their right under the Constitution. And, you know, it started picking up steam with the Muslims when everyone started going crazy about, you know, Muslims. And it was like, you have to respect the fact they abhor pork. And it almost became, you know, making the bacon jokes and whatnot. And it was kind of like, I did this little thing. It was beer, bacon, and Betsy Ross. That's what I wanted to make a t-shirt for. But you have to, you
good
should
point.
Respect.
Maybe that's not an accident.
Because I love bacon. But, you know.
Yes, it's the same
people,
thing. It's the same
know,
thing. You guys know that, right?
Same thing.
Kosher and halal is the same. It's the same diet.
Yes. It's not an accident that we started feeling pressure, or many just like white people that I know of were feeling a pressure of Muslims, the Muslim culture coming in, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the pandemic was aimed at that. You know, there was some ground gaining going on in that direction, in the other direction, that, you know, the pharmaceutical, big pharma didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps.
Could be.
True.
Could be, but it did a fell swoop on all of our freedoms because, you know, even it went into the Amish. The Amish were raided.
I was going to say that. Amish,
For
the same
milk,
thing.
You know, for fresh milk. And it's like, wait a minute. At that point in time, it should have been, I'm sorry, but the government shouldn't be waging war on the Amish and their cheese and their milk, but that's where we're at. And it's like, we need to pull back and, you know, while we still have the laws and they are there, we have the right to, you know, whatever your religion is. And this is where they went into the land of, you know, demonizing all of these new age religions because they would do all kinds of crazy things. Let's go into like, oh, I'm a cat. And I need a kitty box in my bathroom at school. Well, we have that now, but it has nothing to do with New Age religion. It has to do with, you know, a different movement that they're backing. But everyone has the right to that. It's like, you know, it's not going to upset everybody if you want to have a cat box in the bathroom. Let it be, you know. Only one kid's going to use it. Let them have it. And it shouldn't be the hill that you die on. But we all have the right to whatever makes us feel comfortable in whatever religion or whatever way of life we choose. They wiped all that out with this COVID nonsense. And I think while we have the law on the book, we all need to stand up for our rights. And it is an attack on everybody's way of life. Vegans, homeschoolers, homeopathic medicine, everything. It still should be legally defended in the Constitution. And I think that's a wonderful defense is that the
but
kosher,
all we get is,
kosher,
is cat boxes, litter boxes in high school bathrooms. That's all we get.
Well, yeah. But you know what? If we have to accept the litter boxes in the bathrooms in order to get raw milk, good food, and labelings that says, you know what, it's GMO. We need to know that this is something we don't want to put in our body. They somehow mislabeled that to where they've snuck all the GMOs into our food now by changing the name on that. And it's like, no. We need to know and have the right to say, no, we don't want to put this in our body. And that's what the FDA is supposed to be there for in the CDC. And we need to make them do their job the way they're supposed to in respect.
And going
back
to the caller's point, is it Sarah? Is that your name? What's the caller? What's your name?
Yes.
Sarah?
Sarah.
Okay.
Sarah.
Back to Sarah's kosher point. You know, we all of a sudden started seeing packaging, you know, kind of just, you know, just in an instant, we started seeing packaging that said kosher, and people just kind of associated that with health. And so how did they do that? How did they get this this label? It was basically like a good marketing technique,
mm-hmm.
if I'm hearing you right, and if I'm understanding this right. Is that correct?
Yes, and it's completely separate from the other foods. And
it's a religious, you've got the Jewish, the kosher section, and it's for your Jewish holidays. When they celebrate the Jewish holidays, they need their kosher foods. And it is. It has to do with following
the
rule
of the scripture. Every day. They're not allowed to eat anything any day of the week that's not kosher. The ultra-Orthodox Jews, I'm only newly learning this, so I did not know this, that they
mm-hmm.
are that into it.
Yes.
I really respect this.
And I just want to stress that halal is the same menu. And so I don't know why
mm-hmm.
they ever decided to divide their cause, because, you know, people who, you know, eat with halal practicing are eating kosher. I don't know. It's literally the same menu. So I don't know why they differentiated with it. It seems almost like a divisive tactic,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, since it is the same
mm-hmm.
menu.
It could be.
There may be, I don't know this for sure, but there may be just slight alterations. As an example, a slight alteration in the prayer or the time of day, you know, those little kinds of things. And then that creates a whole nother sect. Like there are different
Or the
sects,
butchering,
different
or
levels,
you know,
of Orthodox.
Schedule.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what else I want to say that keep thinking of too? It's the big division is the division between religion and science, see? And I get really upset about this as well, because because these doctors, this is why I pushed the one button, you know, to be on air, is because as someone who needs a doctor now these days, these doctors don't know anything. You really know this. Like when you really need
they
to
don't.
Know, when once you start to get older, and it's like you start to realize you really do need like one of those doctors, how doctors used to be, where they have studied the human body and all the interactions. The doctors don't know shit. They don't know anything about the pharmacology. It's the pharmacist who knows more about that. But, you know, you kind of would like to have at least one doctor who's kind of on top of it all. And we don't have that anymore in this medical system. So then when on top of that, you have Mr. Science, CDC, you know, lamb-blasting us with, like, we are God, because that's what we're basically being told, like, science is God. And, by the way, it's not. I was taught in the same schools as everybody else, and if at that elementary level I had discovered that science did have the answer, believe me, I would have been on board. I love the answers. I'm a musician. Music is like that. There is a resolution for most musical problems, you get the answer. That is not true of science, and most people
mm-hmm.
are too stupid to know this. But that is the truth. There is not much difference between faith and science. You ask a really good cardiologist really important questions about the heart. Same thing goes for the brain. And they're going to, you know what answer they come up with at the end? It's a shrug of the shoulders. It's a mystery. So what's the effing difference between that and faith, okay? Nothing, nada. Like I said, if I had been taught that science did have the answer, I would have been on board, and that would have been my field of study. But I saw right away that it was the same answer that was going to be given in science as you got in philosophy. It was a basic, you know, there's a mystery there involved, except that most people are too stupid to have gotten that far, and they walk around thinking that if they put all their eggs in the science basket, that there's more fact than fiction to it, when in reality, and that's the word I'm using on purpose, in reality there is not more fact than fiction in science. There's lots of I don't knows. So, you know, that's why all this is such horrific, really horrific life and death nonsense. And, you know, there are journalists or, you know, with the kind of platforms that we're talking about, who did investigating on this kind of stuff, and they are dead. This is no joke. If they went over the lines and wrote good books and revealed some of this nonsense, they're dead. You know, it's not blatantly murder, but, you know, like I've heard in a couple of good Netflix series, it's like the FBI, it was a line the FBI says, the FBI doesn't have kill lists. I think that's a line from House of Cards. It says the government doesn't have kill lists or hit lists. Right, except that they mysteriously end up having killed themselves even though they had no symptoms of depression. See what I'm saying? And that's what I mean by they're dead. These people are dead. Or they end up found by the side of the road, you know, in their vehicle, you know, from a mysterious death when, you know, there's no reason for them to have been dead. Why are they dead? Well, if you take a look at what their political views were and the kind of things they used to talk about, you know, you might want to question whether or not there are actual hit lists from the government, right?
What I'm thinking of right off the bat is the holistic doctors that were murdered. There's over 200. Yeah. One of them was beat to death with a hammer, and that sent a message to everybody, shut up. And, you know, the thing with good medicine is it comes down to good insurance. And your insurance company will not pay for a good doctor, meaning a good acupuncturist or a Chinese medicine doctor who knows that the whole body is in sync and they could treat your entire body so that your heart would work better. That's the kind of medicine that's still out there, but it's not covered by insurance. Therefore, you're not able to go to it.
And the other bottom line thing, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no worries.
This is a really big point. They don't get that this is my body. I'm the one who makes the bottom line decision about how I deal with my health. You know, like they'll present you with these, they don't even present them as options. They like tell you what's going to happen. Oh, we're going to do surgery on your, you know, excuse me. No, you're not. You know, it's all like I had issues with, well, I've reversed the diabetes. That's why I'm like hesitating to say the word out loud. But I reversed it with diet and weight loss. But before that, one of the reasons I did was because what I saw was they were not concerned about it because their solution is, you know, like I'm going to give myself insulin injections for the rest of my life. That's their solution. I'm like, sorry, not going that direction. Their solution is they're going to cut my hip and give me a hip replacement. Excuse me, not my solution. I'll take the opioids. Thank you very much. I've read about the side effects, and that's the way that I want. But the bottom line is, see, that they don't understand that it's my body, that I understand that. This is my decision. They think they're Mr. Science, you know, Mr. Science, and they think everybody's on board with that. Because most of them are.
Yeah, and the problem is you used to be able to go and get a second and third opinion, and you could find a good doctor out there. You would
be able
to see who is just out to make the money and have you, you know, go on that horrible diabetic slope of, you know, attaching a piece of equipment to your body now. I'm like, this is horrible.
Dialysis.
But put you on a good diet and exercise that would cure it. It's insane. But you can't find good doctors anymore. And I think it's all based upon the horrible corruption of money in the medical field. And they're keeping us away from – there are good doctors out there, but you simply are not allowed to go based upon your insurance. And those are the things – that's, you know, back – if we could get back to the days of trying to solve the simple problems like good medicine or getting equal good medical care for everyone, which would encompass being able to choose your doctor, to choose what – type of care I get.
That's true. And, you know, I had a primary care physician tell me in his office, this happened about 6 years ago, and in his office he said to me, I'm not going to be here next time you come. I'm quitting. He said my father was a family physician, and his father was too, and I am quitting. He said, and I want to tell you something. I want to warn you about something. He said, medicine is not the same anymore, and that's why I'm quitting. It's not about taking care of people anymore. He says, I want you to know, you know, you've got some serious cardiac issues and stuff going on here. There is nobody watching you. You need to understand this. That's what he said to me. Now, I already did understand this, but I tell this story to people because he was a medical, and he did it. He wasn't there. He wasn't there the next time. This guy quit. You know, he said, I'm out of here.
That's sad. That's sad because we're at that precipice right now where everybody that knows anything is retiring and quitting from all of their professions. And we're stuck with this new echelon of children that have been schooled in money.
Yes.
In the wrong way of doing it. And what's the word? It's how every office, the government is run this way, compartmentalized. Everything's a small little need-to-know thing where no one works together and no one can solve problems. They're only following orders. Compartmentalized.
Yeah,
I can't forget the word. But that's – it's kind of like, no, they didn't teach us this. Well, they should have. No, they only taught us this. And this is now what medicine is prescribing procedures. And in medicine, and not even, it's not even medicine, it's a drug to mask your symptom. And it's not good health, and that's what they're being taught. And it really bothers me that your doctor would quit instead of trying to branch out in doing good medicine. It's one of the reasons I don't quit where I'm at, because I'm not going to allow this to happen. There's enough of us there that we know how things should be, and this is not how – we're not going to walk away and let the new regime of stupid take over and ruin our children. And it saddens me that your doctor would do that. My doctor, he was wonderful. He was really old, and then he got sick, and then he's gone. But I'm like, I can't – there aren't any good doctors anymore that really know – How to make you better. And I think that we, you know, I used to go to a lot of natural health seminars years back. And the one thing I would hear repeated over and over again was, what do you do when you go to a doctor? You basically tell him how you feel and what's wrong with you.
Uh-huh.
So you can do that to yourself. You know what you're feeling. Here are these books that it can help you to heal each system of your body. And it all based upon your diet and what goes in your gut and how to balance your systems. And it's a slow process. It took a little while for you to get sick. It's going to take a little while for you to get better, but it's possible through cleansing the body and putting good things into it and treating your body the right way. Those things aren't talked about anymore. There is absolutely no nutrition in medical school at all. When I talk to these people, they're like, they don't even know what I'm talking about. And that's kind of crazy. And that's like on the fringe. That's the fringe medicine.
No,
and
my primary care physician is fat. He's obese. He is. So every time I can tell by the look in his eye. It's like he has witnessed me losing all this weight. If anything, he's probably envious, you know? it's a real bad situation. Well, and I live in a house full of other people who are dealing with the same thing. I'm not alone in this, you know. We old people, yeah, we talk with each other about it, you know. They feel the same way about their medical care. And, yeah, it's more than a crying shame. But once again, mm-hmm, didn't we get back to? It's the food. Once again, it's about the food and, yeah, what's in the food, too.
In our water, in our air, we are being assaulted. And it's like we need to be able to get the power back to know what makes us,
yeah,
healthy. And it really makes me mad because you, like now, there's something is going on with the sun that it just doesn't feel good for me to be in the sun.
Yes.
And now, you know, there's a lot of solar flares and there's like, I'm thinking, well, maybe it's the radiation I can feel because it's like the basics of, mm-hmm, going out in the sun, in the fresh air used to be like you could cure pretty much anything. You know, back in the Civil War, there's pictures, mm-hmm, of the nurses took the soldiers out of their tents and laid them in their stretchers out in the sun, and that made them,
yeah,
healthy. Well, when, yes, they're poisoning our environment, they've taken away the very simplest basic things from us, and it's very upsetting that they have weaponized everything to make us sick. And it's a battle to be able to go out and get the good foods and to find a nice climate and a nice day when it's like, how much shit did I spray in the sky today? What kind of... It's like we are at war right now, basically, in a fight for,
yes,
our health.
Yes, and that's, you know, the control of the sun is like, this is like, and when we start to talk about nuclear stuff, that there have been nuclear releases already. I believe it's,
yeah,
already, we're dealing with it, right, the after effects of it. But I heard this guy,
well,
I forget what show it was on, what he talked about was, that he said that one of the things that he's finding that disturbs him is that even people in the new media or in new spirituality, that they stay away, they want to stay away from politics. And it's his belief or contention that we need to be involved in politics, you see? We need to not be afraid instead of throwing up our heads and saying, oh, I hate that stuff. I don't want to even talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've fallen into that category too. No, see, that's the wrong attitude, I think. We need to be continually, we not can't be afraid of it. We've got to deal with it. We've got to deal with it, I think. Even if we don't,
yeah,
have
we
to,
are in control of the
right?
biggest killing machine in the history of mankind. That's why I ran for Congress in California and I ran for governor in California. You know, it's definitely something that we have to keep our mind on and our energy on. Let me just tell you, I'll make this as brief as possible, a story of an 11. I was dating a neuropsychopharmacologist, long-term dating. And, I'll say that again.
Whoa, that's
a
cool.
neuropsychopharmacologist at UCSD.
Mm-hmm.
And
cool.
He had a couple roommates in his apartment. One of them was my best friend. Her name is Saleh Siddiqui. And she was from Afghanistan. Her uncle was basically the equivalent of the vice president when Russia invaded in the 80s. And so they were political refugees, left Afghanistan, has shrapnel wounds in her arm as a child, 7, leaving Afghanistan, and ended up in Amsterdam and ended up going to school, was an MD in her early 20s, heart surgeon, and came to San Diego to pursue her PhD in cardiology stem cell research, right? So here's me in my, you know, my 20s with, you know, I've got 2 children already. I'm dating this this brain doctor. And we're all drinking and sitting outside. And So I say, you know, what? So I've got the heart and the brain right here in front of me. And the heart says to the brain that, you know, what's going on? You know, we've got this down. The heart is basically been researched and understood based down to its basis, really, like the mechanical, the functional, all of it. You know, we've basically mastered the heart. What's going on with the brain, right? And so the brain, this is my boyfriend at the time, says, you know, the brain is complicated. And that was really basically the only answer that he could give at the time, you know? And it's so true because, you know, and years and years and years later, I really do understand that at the heart, pun intended, of all of our problems, brain, because trauma-based mind control and control, of the media and all of these things, control of the medical field, the research field, control of all of this, really brings us to this point where we create our own sicknesses. It's psychosomatic, so that, you know, our brain can talk our bodies into basically anything. They, you know, feeling sick, feeling, you know, poisoned, not feeling poisoned, you know. And so, you know, I guess at the moral of the story is that the brain is very complicated and it's being taken advantage. We are being taken advantage of because of that organ. You know, it controls so many things, so many parts of our nervous system, our limbic system, all of our systems are basically started in the brain. And as long as they can control our ability to be afraid and sick, we will be able to talk ourselves into anything. And that's the biggest problem. And that's why politics are also very important to control, because how much of these agencies, how many of these agencies have been able to, basically force us to falsely believe that we're sick, that we're, that there's no way around what's going on, that we're so afraid, that our energy is focused on so many, negative things, that mm-hmm. it's keeping us in line, that it's keeping us controlled. I know that's really such a heavy topic, 20 minutes away from the end of the show, but
great boyfriend. You're right on topic, because what was the biggest thing that they controlled us with is the asymptomatic. You're not sick, but you could get it.
Yes.
And a brain trauma. That is the biggest mind fuck, that there's nothing really going on, but you could kill everyone. And we believed it. It was like, because the people in authority, the TV told us. And, you know, we have the ability to heal ourselves with positivity. We have the brain really is an amazing thing. And for that man to have gone, that you dated, gone to school, and for them to not even expose him to any of the amazing synapses and the connections to energy that the brain has, that's another case of the medical establishment is not producing healers. They're producing drug pushers.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, just a little side caveat, that the neuropsychopharmacology that he studied and was a tenure professor at the end of all of it, his specialty was hallucinogenics, right? Which is mm-hmm. something that not a lot of people. Yes, absolutely. And one of the groundbreaking studies he was on was they gave 12 terminally ill cancer patients the active ingredient in psilocybin, and it significantly reduced their anxiety of death for up to 6 months with zero systemic side effects. Mm-hmm. So no heightened blood pressure, no diabetic, you know, no heart problems, no, you know. Yeah, yeah,
now,
very interesting.
Now, but in every study, what do? They do a placebo effect because the power of believing you're taking something that is making you better is so strong that they have that. And that should say
a lot.
Well,
but that was like the beauty of that study, honestly, was that none of these patients believed they were going to get better. They were terminally ill cancer patients, and all 12 of them died. But the purpose of the study was an anti-anxiety effect of the active ingredient in psilocybin, you know, magic mushrooms, right? So that's like the key to all of this is that they all still believed that they would die. Now, if let's say in 20 years we're able to study the same people, terminally ill cancer patients, but the active ingredient will cure you, I wonder what the outcomes would be. I wonder if there would still be alive people.
But in that group of terminal people, they always have to have a certain percentage that they didn't give them the actual drug, and that is what is called the placebo effect. They don't know they're not getting the right medicine. And therefore, it's like whatever's been put into their mind, here, we're giving you this experimental drug that might save your life, but we don't know. And they give you water or they give you aspirin.
Excellent point. Excellent point.
And you still get better and you're not anxious. That's the placebo effect. And that's the power of the mind that they know about. That's why they have a effect. Do you know what I'm saying? They do know that the mind, you know what I'm saying?
One of the things that I keep thinking about is what a great boyfriend. That's the kind of boyfriend I'd like. Make life interesting. But this is what's occurring to me.
Well, she calls him a psycho, so I don't know.
the way that the brain communicates is really a lot with chemical components. That's how it communicates. So isn't it interesting, wrong choice of words probably, that we've been bombarded with so much bad press about drugs and people being drug addicts. So you're right. Yes, they're pushing drugs as a solution. However, I think it's been for a different purpose because, like I just said, the brain uses chemistry. So it's kept us away from studying chemistry, I think, as regular people. You know, to learn as much as we possibly can. Like, imagine if we had access to our own blood samples and understood what was going on within our own blood in terms of self-care in our own health. That's a big piece that's missing. And it has to do with chemistry. And we're bombarded with all this media about, since Nancy Reagan and the say no to drugs. So we're saying no to drugs, and yet that's the only health solution that we're being given. It's just, it's crazier than you can even make up, you know? It's just so crazy.
And what would Nancy think now that cannabis and CBD oil is legal, you know? It's funny how it's in full circle.
We don't know.
Probably the same. Probably the same that she always did. Too stupid.
She died of Alzheimer's, didn't she?
No, Reagan did. She died of bitterness and old rage and alcoholism.
There you go.
That's so funny. Because that's the worst drug ever, right, is alcohol.
Yeah. I think she was related to Pelosi somehow. But in looks and mannerisms, anyways, if I remember her. I love your thoughts, Sarah. I'm so absolutely glad that you called in. And I hope you
thanks.
Call
I was just
and
thinking.
Not,
you see, I was just thinking though. Really, you realize we all remember how long it took for the American public to realize that alcohol was a drug. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. That's the kind of population we're dealing with. You know, It took,
right?
You know,
yeah.
How
and
long
nicotine.
To realize that alcohol was a drug while they were calling people drug addicts, you know? I mean, it's insane what we're dealing
mm-hmm.
with.
Yeah.
So let's
and just think
absolutely.
All the things that they are feeding our children, like these sports drugs, or I'm going to call them sports drugs, these energy drinks that are
right.
have been killing people. Oh, no. That's, you know, when are they going to take a look at that? And it's almost like, but they don't really want us to be healthy, though, because of all the
or
things
smart.
That they're pushing as being.
Yeah, how would they make
it's
money?
Good. Exactly. Segue McDonald's, my God. You know, it's not even real food. I heard today that Aldi's is now going to start selling the insect protein-based foods to us. Which is not everyone can process this. The shell, the outside shell of these insects has a certain type of enzyme that is not, it's a lot of people are saying it's poisonous. So it's one more thing to make us sick, but it's
ugh.
Good for the environment. And they just are not, it's like, we need to really question what is wrong with the natural things that we can grow. We want natural organic, and that's what we need to fight for. And we want real air and real clean water. You know the Camp Lejeune commercials? Do you see that all over the place? The camp
yeah.
that they had Byzantine? And that chemical is in everyone's drinking water. Everyone. You know, this is why we don't drink tap water. We buy bottled water, and we have distillers and whatnot. Is because all of our water is poisoned with these chemicals, but that one little camp, they get to be able to be compensated for their bad health that came from it.
Well,
and
it's
you look
not
at
a
our
little
country,
camp, right? It's the biggest military base population-wise in the
right.
in the country.
Okay, right.
And then Camp Pendleton,
the
right
the,
here in San Diego County, is the largest as far as mileage. But as far as the most military personnel, is Camp Lejeune.
Is it? Well, you know, the whole rest of the country has very, very bad water and has the same chemicals that they had. If you look, if you get that zero water thing, it's a filtration system, and it comes with a little pen that you put in your water, and it tracks pollutants. Mine's like at 428. I'm second to Ohio. Ohio's got the worst water in the country. They even give you a map of what state has the worst water and why you should have filtered water. All of us are drinking horrible chemicals that are making us sick. Why should only the people that were at this camp be privy to being compensated for their sicknesses when, as an entire nation, we're just inundated with sickness? And could it be the water, or could it be the air, or could it be the food? What is it? That's what I'm just like.
Well, maybe that'll be the starter. Maybe that'll be the
the
prompter to get.
I know. I'm like, where are the lawsuits? Because you can test your water, and those same chemicals are in your water, and they all. We need a reckoning for our bad health.
That's going to be the next revolution.
That seems to work. Why are we so sick?
When McDonald's got sued for the hot coffee, that seemed to work. When they get sued, when they're held accountable, that does seem to work. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like exactly. I had this joke once I used to say on air when I would call into shows. If children were given guns and learned how to shoot them, the rate of child abuse would go way down.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
my point is
being held accountable. See, the perpetrator is being held accountable in some very real way. So same way, lawsuits, statute of limitations change, boom, bang, bang. These guys, they had to go sit their ass in jail, even if it was 30, 40 years later. And they had to pay out of their pocket for the damages. That's when things are going to change, not before. Not all the sad stories that fill a stadium is going to change anything until people are held accountable. That's the way it is. People are like that. So,
exactly.
Held accountable or until all of us as a society withdraw consent, right? Like that would be the instant change is heal the division
right.
and
all of us withdraw consent.
And stand up for our rights. And stand up like the victim with the gun. And say, oh, no, you're not going to do this to me again. We need to all stand up and say, no. No, 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 no. No more. You need to change. We're not going to play. No more money. You don't get our money. You don't get our adoration. You don't get our votes. You don't even get our attention. Until it
you don't get our energy.
Inner energy, exactly.
That's what fuels this whole system, is our energy and our consent. And that's why what Mom said in the Good News Report is so important, is that, you know, that until we, that what did she basically reveal, is that our energy is fueling everything that's going on. And so when we, and then my Clay and Buck segment, that, you know, we're not talking about terrorism. We're not talking about aggression. We're not talking about offensive. What we're doing is we are turning our backs on the system. We are withdrawing our consent. And that is the way that we beat this, you know. And obviously, since we are in charge of the biggest killing machine in the history of mankind, politics have to be a part of it. We have to dismantle that system. But that's still not violent, right? We're not talking about anything that is aggressive or terroristic or anything. We are talking about withdrawing consent.
Yes, and we're putting out new information.
I agree with you, but I was reading an article about, I think it was 1972, and I think it was in Brazil, and the students just attacked the powers that be over the fact that they had found out that they were complicit in the Ho Chi Minh Trail massacre and had been supporting that, and it was a huge war protest, type of protest we used to have. And now we have people who are just like, oh, no, we have to stand with the Ukraine. We have to nuke the whole world. Nobody stands back and says, this is wrong. You know, we've lost that collective. It's not popular to not go along with whatever the powers that be want us to be doing. And it's like, but the powers that be are not ethical, and they're not holding our best interests at heart. We need to be able to have this courage to say, the emperor has no clothes, and this is not right, and not do it. You know, it need not be, you know, violent, because they demonize any type of, you know, everything is violent now. People that went to, you know, stand at the Capitol are terrorist extremists. So that's not going to work. They've made it not work. So therefore, we need to like stand there and quietly look at them with the fuck you look, but we're just not leaving. We're the sit-ins. Remember the sit-ins? You just sit in, and they have to drag me away. We just sit there, like the civil rights movement.
Well, I got co-opted.
Well, we need to, you know, re-co-opt it. You know, there's only so many things that we can do, but we have to do something. It's kind of like, this is the new and improved. You know,
well,
and
stop relying
song.
On the system. That's the first thing. Plant food. Food, news,
exactly.
And health. That's been my whole thing the whole time, is that if we're going to take it back, we have to take it back in a non-hostile way, starting with resources of food, news, and health. Food being number one, Sarah, and that's why you reading the labels all of these years is so, you know, empowering to me, is that, you know, if we can't take back our food, how are we going to have a clear sense of mind for the rest of it? You know, news is the next thing. If we can't, you know, be exposed to the right news sources, how are we going to know what to do? And all of this leads to the betterment of our health. And so, you know, there are these pioneers, Elizabeth and Sarah, like you guys are, that really have laid the groundwork for us to take back this system in a non-hostile way. And none of it has to do with violence. As a matter of fact, they wrote the book on how to squash uprisings, with, you know, that are violent, how to get them to be violent, you know what I mean, in order to take down these movements. So, you know, I applaud both of you.
for being here at this moment in time and helping us take back our country.
But I don't think we've made that much headway because we still do not know what natural flavors are. They still will not go. I know a lot of people have been complaining about that. Real food activists, you know, people who really do. So I don't consider myself one. Someone who's really put the real work into it. But there are real people out there who've really put work into it. And even they cannot get these people to say what is in natural flavors. What the F, what WTF is that? Natural flavors. You know, because there's been some uncovering of what they could possibly be. There have been some uncovering of what they could possibly be, and they're absolutely horrific, and they still will not open up that door.
It's probably people.
I want that door opened up.
Well, you know, the one thing you have is you don't have to buy that food. When you see natural food flavors in it, boom, it goes back on the shelf. You go and you buy real food, and you learn how to cook. And those are natural flavors. It's kind of like you use your consent with your dollar. You know, let other people buy that. If it's got more than 8 things in it, I don't buy it. Especially when it comes down to the words I don't understand, and it's all full of garbage and chemicals, and I go on to something else. And that's how we win. Like, look what happened with PayPal. PayPal, they lost a lot of money because people didn't like their terms of agreement. And their stocks went down. And then they're, oh, we didn't mean that. We're changing this. Oh, that's interesting. And that's how you do it, is you just, you don't shop there. You don't eat that food. And I was just going to go into, you know, how they have, you know, when they attack the Amish, who have been doing exactly what we want to do, is we withdraw from society. We become self-sufficient. And and you know what? They didn't create their own energy source. They went back to old school. We don't have energy. We live old school. They wanted to be left alone, and they went and attacked them. We need to stand with the Amish, and then we need to become resilient. And, you know, we're going to, you know, I don't need my cable. I don't need, you know, don't need my electricity. I can live with candles. But you form, I heard this guy talking the other day. I'm like, you know, this is exactly what you do. When you say, I do not comply, I do not consent, that means we're going to go and form our own little communities. And when there's enough of us to do it, there's like, there's too many Amish to deal with right now. It's like, well, fuck them. We'll manipulate the people that live in the cities. And those are the ones that we really want. And we might have to leave these people alone. But you draw your line in your sand and you form your own self-resiliency where you don't, it doesn't bother you if they shut the power off. Because I know how to live without power. They did it for years. You have fires, you have candles, you go to sleep, you wake up when the sun wakes up, and then when you start your day, it's a whole different way of life. And it's like that's where you gain your power back. It's kind of like, I don't like how the game's played, and I don't like this cake. I'm not going to eat this cake. I'll go eat, you know, pumpkin seeds because it's in season, you know. It's a different way of life, and if there's enough of us that do it, I think they might somehow take notice, because if they need our energy and they need our money and our participation in their craziness, they better start changing the rules of engagement. That's my thought.
Yeah, exactly.
My suspicions are that the Amish have been infiltrated by that arm of government that has studied infiltration and ways to do that for a couple of decades.
I hate to cut you off. That's such an interesting topic. We've got about 30 seconds left, though. Of the show.
Call back next week and I want to hear about your ideas about the Amish. Will you?
Yeah, please come back in. Sorry, that's birds in the background.
It's delicious. I love it.
All right, we've got the 10-second warning. So please share this video if you can. Thank you guys so much for being here. We love you all. And we will talk to you next week. Bye, guys.
We love you, Sarah. I want you to call back.
Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Have a good week, babe. Love you. Bye-bye.